Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
State Police.
Hey, this is 911.
Yeah, can I help you?
This is Omar Thornton, the shooter over in Manchester.
Yes, where are you, sir?
I'm in the building. You probably want to know the reason why I shot this place up. This place is a racist place.
Yep, I understand that.
They treat me bad over here, and treat all other black employees bad over here, too. So I take it to my own hands and handle the problem. I wish I could have got more of the people.
Yeah. Are you armed, sir? Do you have a weapon with you?
Oh, yeah, Mom.
How many guns do you have with you?
I got one now. There's one out in the factory there.
Yep. Okay, sir.
I'm not going to kill nobody else, though.
Yeah. We're going to have you surrender yourself somehow here and not make the situation any worse. You know what I mean?
These cops are going to kill me.
No, they're not. We're just going to have to get you to relax.
I'm relaxed and calm down.
To have you, you know, turn yourself over.
You can be popular. You can play for the news. You can be popular right here, man. You should see the right thing. Hey, look, spot changes roll by in Army gear. You don't know where I'm at, but I don't know. Maybe you can teach it from this phone call. But yeah, these people here are crazy in this building. They treat me bad since I started here, racist company.
Yep.
Treat me bad. I'm the only black guy I already got here.
Okay,
Treat me bad all the time.
Yeah, this is a horrible situation. I understand that.
I'm already calmed down.
Yeah.
I'm not going to kill anybody else. I just want to tell my story so you can stay back anyway.
Then you're gonna help me get you out of the building, okay?
Alright, I'm going to get out. Don't worry about it. I got that taken care of. I don't need anybody to talk to me to get me out of the building.
Where in the building are you, Omar?
I'm not going to tell you that. When they find me, that's when everything will be over. But
yeah. Just, you know, where are you located? Are you up in the offices?
When they find me, everything will be all right. That's in Manchester itself, in the racist place.
Yeah. Now, what time did you get there today?
About 7 o'clock.
Yeah?
Yeah.
This morning?
Yeah, about 7 a.m., yeah.
Yeah.
Because we come early today.
What type of weapon do you have?
I got a Ruger SR9. Yeah.
SR9?
Automatic, yeah.
Is it a rifle?
No, pistol. Nice pistol, too, one of my favorites.
Now, you're going to make the troopers and the people come in and catch it? You're not going to surrender yourself?
Well, I guess, maybe I'll surrender. Nah, they're coming to get me. I'm coming to get me.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to do it like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's already been a bad enough scene here this morning. We want you to relax. Now,
I'm relaxed, though. I'm down.
We don't want any more people to lose their life here.
I'm not going to kill nobody else.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not coming out where I'm at. I'm not coming out there to find them. All right, so some dogs or whatever. I don't know what we do. Anyway.
17 shots. How much ammunition do you have with you?
I got a lot of shots left. Oh.
What's that?
All right. I guess this conversation is over. I have to take care of business. Got my people if I love them.
Yeah.
And I got to go there.
Omar.
Yeah.
I really want you to help me stop this situation. Okay?
Okay.
If you work with me, we'll get this to stop. Okay? Omar. Oh. Omar. Omar. Okay. He's still alive.
That is the 911 call from Omar Thornton. Just a couple weeks ago, he executed 8 suspected racists and then took his own life after that phone call. He was engaged to a suspected racist. I guess from what you heard on the tape and what you have just heard about it from me, do you have any thoughts on that?
You know, I'm sorry. I'm recalling, of course, I did hear about that.
Okay.
Case. And I would just say that it's a tragedy that this individual was stressed by racism, white supremacy, to have done that. And this is why it is very important for people who classify themselves as white, as well as black people, to understand and to recognize, take responsibility for the fact that this system exists. Black people take responsibility for meaning in recognizing it and talking about what it is. It's a system of 24/7 stress. And whereas I don't advocate that people do what this gentleman do, but it's clear that he was under, it sounds like he was under a great deal of stress from what was happening to him that he attributed to racism, white supremacy. So this is, you know, racism, white supremacy is a destructive dynamic that is responsible. I mean, it's, you know, a system that is bringing about mass deaths. People talk about damage done to the environment and damage done to the creatures in the water, the ocean from oil spills. There's tremendous damage being done to human beings on the planet because of this particular dynamic. And so all people, whether they're black people or people who classify themselves as white, everybody should be working towards recognizing, owning up to that we do have a system of racism, white supremacy on the planet. And it is a dynamic that says the welfare of the few is more important than the welfare of the many, and that it's more important for the few to have access to all of the resources on the planet as opposed to the resources on the planet should be used for the well-being of all human beings. And so it's imperative that this system of injustice, one might say, even though it was started because the white minority recognized that they could be genetically annihilated, and so therefore the feeling, the need that they have to control everybody on the planet, and anybody who is objecting to that control has to be killed. See, if we just turn on the television, you will see that when you're thinking about a total system structure, that the answer is something that you don't like. You see, any program, most of the programs on the television, if they're not game shows, they're programs about destruction and killing, even cars running into each other, people fighting, people shooting, people killing. So if you have a problem, the answer for this, in this system and culture, is to kill. That's why they have such a thing as the Obama effect, meaning all of the guns and ammunition that has been bought by people who classify themselves as white since President Barack Obama became president. more people have bought guns in this period of time than at any other time. That the answer to a black man in the White House is that we have to kill. Well, these messages don't just stop. The man in Connecticut is within the framework of a culture that says you have a problem, you're unhappy about something, get a weapon and kill. That this is an ethos that is within the system and culture. And I say that this tragically is a solution that the white minority on the planet has decided upon. Out of our fear, we have to develop guns and other weapons. And so, you know, people turn on the television, shooting and killing, go to the movies, shooting and killing. Shooting and killing and shooting and killing and killing and killing and killing. So we really are with, if we take a total system view, we are in a system and culture of mass murder. And then tragically you see individuals consciously, subconsciously being influenced by this culture, by this theme within the whole cultural dynamic. And this is a tragedy. So we all must become aware, you know, not just talk about the environment and how, you know, too much carbon monoxide in the environment. We have to think about what is really the dynamic in terms of people relations on this planet, in this system, and that murder is not the answer. See, murder as the answer is affecting large numbers of young black men in all of the urban areas in this entire country who feel out of their frustration and despair the answer is to get a weapon and kill. Well, the culture is teaching this. So tragically, this man is a victim within this cultural frame that we should all decide we have responsibility to help change it and transform it. And we begin by talking about it, not pretending that we don't understand what it is or miscalling it democracy when it's really racism, white supremacy. We have to call things for what they are and look at things for what they are and decide that we are going to change it from what it is to what it ought to be. We need to have a system of justice where people are treated decently. No one is mistreated. And those who need the most help get the most help so that there can, that's justice, so we can have peace on the planet.
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, August 25th, 2016. So I have been told. That was Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, her sixth visit to the Cows way back September 2010. She was responding to the incident with Omar Thornton, a black male in Hartford, Connecticut, where he reportedly shot and killed 8 racist suspects and then allegedly took his own life. You heard his 911 call where he reported that he was a victim of racism, white supremacy on the job, and it resulted in counterviolence, allegedly. I had been thinking, perhaps that is the way we should begin every segment of Workplace Racism with the 911 call to that Omar Thornton made with that incident back in, actually, this is 6 years to the month that it happened. That was from August 3rd, 2010, so 6 years ago this month. But thinking that we should begin every workplace racism segment with that sound bit from Omar Thornton, just to emphasize the seriousness of this problem with regards to workplace racism and just how bad things can get, the amount of stress that we are under in the area of people activity, known as labor, and what we go through on the job, whether you are working directly with for whites or not. That's it. Number to dial, 641-715-3640. The code is 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. That number again, 641-715-3640. The code is 564-943-pound. Press star 6 if you would like to participate. You can certainly email untiljustice@gmail.com. If you are not able to participate live via the phone, but you have something that you would like to share, I can read it during the broadcast. I'll check my email as we're rolling, but feel free, drop an email, and I will share as we go through the broadcast. The email again, untiljustice@gmail.com. Just so that folks are aware, we got an updated server at Black Talk Radio Network, courtesy of Mr. Scotty Reed. So we had to switch over some of the feeds. For people who, if you would normally listen via TuneIn, if you would listen live at TuneIn.com, or if you would listen to some of the archived content at TuneIn.com, it takes a while for them to switch to upgrade to the new server. Hopefully it won't take too long, but I think it has, at TuneIn at least, it's been offline for a period of time. You can certainly just go to the page blacktalkradio.com for the cows, and you can listen right there. It's linked on our Facebook page. I'm about to post it again on our Twitter feed. If you get confused, feel free to drop an email if you need an update. But until TuneIn updates, you can certainly listen live at blacktalkradio.com. With that, we did have a few people who emailed reports in via workplace racism. We got quite a few this week. I'm going to try to read as many as I can at the beginning, and then I will weave the rest of the reports in as we go. Thanks to all the folks who have shared via workplace racism. Just again to emphasize, this is not a spectator broadcast. This program is based. Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, she stated on this program, she said it many times, there is no way that you can get five black people together and not have an abundance of situations, frustrations directly related to racism, white supremacy on the job. I just do not believe with the number of people that listen to this broadcast live or listen to the archives, there is no way you can have this many black people and not have an abundance of problems that are taking place on the job. Again, whether you work directly with suspected race soldiers, or even if you are in a work environment that is predominantly non-white people, racism, white supremacy is going to be a massive issue for you on the job, unless I am in complete error with my assessment. And if that is the case, then we should have tons of people who are getting all their raises and promotions and are just doing phenomenal in your chosen field of work, and you should be able to invest in the cows. racism-notes.com, racism-notes.blogspot.com. Make sure I give it correctly. racism-notes.blogspot.com. Listener supported counter racist radio. PayPal button is in the top right corner. If you're not in the PayPal, you can drop us an email. We'll get you a physical mailing address. But certainly, if we just have an abundance of black people listening to the program who they don't have any problems, whatever Omar Thornton was going through is not an issue for you specifically, well then, hey, by all means, fantastic. You should write a book about how you did that, and then again invest in the cows. But I don't think that that is the case, so you should certainly not be a spectator. Dial in, share if you have figured out some things that are working well for you to minimize problems at work. Definitely, we need to hear that like immediately. If you're having problems, difficulties, then feel free to share your observations. That is helpful for us to get a better gauge of the type of things that victims of racism experience on the job. And then sometimes people might even have some good suggestions for things to counter what you are experiencing. As always, it's great for people who are younger, who are listening to this, who don't have an extensive work history, so they can get a better understanding, unfortunately, of what is to come as they enter the workforce. With that, some of the commentary that folks wrote in. Thomas in New York wrote this one in earlier. I have been working diligently on a report on Dr. Welsing, so that has taken up a good bit of my time and energy this week. So I didn't have time to respond immediately, so we can share on the air. My apologies to Thomas in New York for failing to respond quicker. He wrote in, he said, one day last week at the office, one of the company's departments were away for a seminar for an entire day. Two members from that group stayed behind to answer calls and to do the work for that department. My coworker went to that department for something and encountered a white female sleeping at her desk. I mean, laid out snoring and all. He took pictures of her sleep at her desk. He showed them to me when he got back to the area that he and I work from. We both chuckled. This Monday, when I came in, he was showing the pictures to a black female employee who is one of the three black women in this entire office. He and this black female are very close. They are both islanders. This black female came back to our area Tuesday with two people from her department and requested him to show them the pictures, and he did. They all laughed, and that was it. So he thought. Wednesday, three white females who were attending the seminar, two of these females, he has already given me a heads up to watch and to be careful around because he suspects them of being racist, came looking for him, but he was on lunch. I went to lunch before he came back, and when I got back to the office, he was standing there showing these three white females the pictures. They were chuckling and laughing. I told him that was not a good idea after they left, and he agreed. He said they caught him off guard. He informed me that he wasn't thinking because the lady who was sleeping and the lady who is asking to see the pictures are enemies. They don't get along. Apparently, the lady who stayed behind and slept has quite a few enemies and people who she has wronged in the past who want to get even, including the vice president of the company. Yesterday, I took off. Apparently, the ringleader of the white females left him a voice message and demanded that he send her a copy of the pictures ASAP. He sent her an email and asked why, and she said with laughter to show a few people. He knew something was not right, so he decided to ignore her request. She came to the area looking for him later, and he said with a huge smile she told him he needed to either send the pictures to her by email or give her his phone so she can send them to herself. She told him the vice president of the company, who is directly over her department, wants to see them. He asked why, and she said, without removing the huge smile from her face, to show human resources. Like he was down with it, he likes the lady who took a few snapshots of sleeping. He told me she has three kids and needs her job. So he told her he deleted the pictures, thinking that that was the end of it. He said her smile disappeared and she turned red. She told him in a stern, aggressive voice that was stupid and questioned why he would do that. She went straight to IT and came back requesting that she needs his phone because according to the IT guy, the pictures will remain for 20 days after they were deleted, and the phone is the company's, not his. For context, the company gives each employee an iPhone 6 for working and commuting purposes, but he took the pictures on his personal phone, which is also an iPhone 6. He said he told her no. She came back minutes later with the IT guy who demanded the phone, citing company policy, and he handed it over. But the pictures were not on that phone. They are on his personal phone. He said she came back with a phone and handed it back to him and said that was the wrong phone and she needed his other phone. He said he explained to her that the other phone has nothing to do with work and he is not turning over his personal phone to IT or anyone else because he has personal information and pictures that he wants to keep private. He said she huffed and puffed and went to the IT guy again, but the IT guy said to him in front of her that he does not have the authority to confiscate anyone's personal phone. She left angry and hours later came back with the vice president, who asked him to turn over his personal phone and promised that they just wanted to extract the pictures of the lady sleeping, nothing personal. He said he felt stuck, like if he hands the phone over and they see the pictures, the lady who he considers a friend will be fired, and if he doesn't, the VP will have it out for him. He said this happened just as it was his time to leave for the day, and they told him they would discuss this with him tomorrow, which was the day he wrote this email. So I hear this story as soon as I entered the office. I had to advise him. I told him personally I can care less if a white lady gets fired for sleeping on the job that I can't sleep on. The VP requested his phone around noontime via email. He lied and said he left it at home, so they expect it Monday morning. I did not know what to say to help him. My code has been not to help white people, not to have white friends, and if he followed my code, this would not have happened. But either way, he wants me to help him figure out what to do, and I told him I'll call him this weekend. So my thoughts on that would be, number one, wow, it's so much within this story. Certainly, if folks have their own suggestions or ideas, feel free. Policy and procedure. Some moron says that all the time. It is very important to know what the policy and procedure is on the job. From a policy and procedure standpoint, that way we can kind of remove, you know, the whole issue about, you know, this white chick is my friend, to help or not to help, whatever. If the policy and procedure is that you are required to hand over a company issued phone or any other piece of technology that they have issued you for the job, and the photos were not taken on a company issued device, this would be nothing to talk about. I would ask, you know, where is it in the policy that I am required to hand over my personal phone? If that is not in policy and procedure, then we have nothing to talk about. I'm not handing over a personal device. The photos were not on my company issued device, and there's nothing to talk about unless you can show me where it's in the policy that I am required to hand over my personal property. And I would just end it there. Now, I would say some other just lessons that can be learned from this. If you take any photos like that on the job, I would not be just going around willy-nilly sharing them. It sounds like he might have just taken these photographs for giggles, like he was not doing this to try to get this suspected racist in any sort of trouble or take this up with administration or anything. It sounds like this was just, oh, ha-ha, look at her being asleep. That if that is the case, that you really, kind of what I've said consistently, that you do not want to be participating in frivolous gossip conversation on the job with whites. You really want to keep everything business related. If you have some non-white people that you trust, you all have a rapport, and you just want to show that sort of document or image to them, like, oh, look what I saw, ha ha ha, fine, and keep it moving. But I just would not be in that sort of habit of carelessly sharing things like these whites are cool, because things can change within an instant where you're thinking that this is just ha ha, let's get back to work, and they are thinking, oh no, we're going to take this up as a serious issue, and we're going to move. This is going to be item number one when we have our company meeting tomorrow. So that would certainly be something to learn from all of this. As I said, knowing policy and procedure, extremely important to know what you are required to do, what you're not required to do. I've stated that consistently about if you have a cell phone or if you have some sort of mobile device, a tablet, lapbook, whatever it happens to be, being very careful with that on the job. If you have any sort of company issued device, I would not use it for anything. I would not check my personal email on it. I would not check any of my social media accounts, nothing. I would just assume that they would have access to anything that you check on that device, whether they take it physically or not. Passwords, any sort of information, I would just assume that they would be able to access it. So I wouldn't use it for anything except work purposes. And I wouldn't even use it when I was away from the job. If it's a phone, I would get a different phone. If it's a computer, I would have, you know, other devices that I can use so that nothing is on that except work-related information. So if they need to take here, no problem, I'll volunteer it. Whatever you need to get, it's just going to be work-related information. Me talking to other folks that I work with about job-related details. All I could say on that one, if he wants to share it or not, if he doesn't want to share it, I would just stick with policy and procedure. That seems like the easiest route to go. They might get upset with him. That's kind of been my experience, that they might have an attitude with him for a period of time where they want to look to get back at him for some reason. If this is a suspected racist on the job that they don't like, and they were trying to go after this person for being asleep on the job, I would just take it from a policy and procedure that unless it's in the policy someplace that I'm required to relinquish my phone, I'm not willing to comply with this, because this does not seem like due process. This does not seem like a just action for me to be required to hand over my personal property. Next thing that popped up, someone shared. Person wrote in, I work in retail and most of my coworkers are black. And it's interesting how the same issues that happen in mostly white workplaces happen in black ones also. My question is, at my job, I try not to talk about non-work-related things that could possibly get me in trouble. Amen. The black people I work with notice it and seem to have a problem with me not having casual conversation with them and not participating in the foolishness that goes on. I do not have to work directly with them because they are not my managers and I'm in a different department. The situation reminds me of the scene in The Spook Who Sat by the Door when they invited him to go out with them in the hotel. He refused the invitation, and one of the black males became so upset that he seemed to want to fight and told him he needs to get with the program. How do I deal with a situation like that? I would say continue to do exactly what you're doing, particularly the part that stuck out to me, where he said that these, I guess they're engaging in non-work-related behaviors that could possibly get me in trouble. I would steer as clear of that as possible. I would have nothing to do with it. That's not saying to be aloof or rude to any of these black people. I would be nice. I would speak to them and be cordial about it. You know, morning, John, Sarah, whoever it happens to be, morning, how are you doing, blah, blah, blah. And we can have conversation. And I might even, just to make sure that they do not get the impression that I'm trying to avoid them or be nasty, if you can find times, things that you can talk about that are work-related, that are of some constructive value, to make sure that you can say something nice. I even remember 909 called in where he said that there was a black person on his job where they did not have the best rapport at first, where he did something nice for this person, where they had been talking about some personal things, and it was something that he could do that was pretty easy, that he knew that this person would enjoy, would appreciate. He did that, and it drastically improved their relationship, and still keeping things focused on the job. If you can do that sort of thing, I think that's great. But if they're engaged in things that could possibly get you in trouble, I suspect some of those people are going to run into difficulties on the job anyway, and you will not have to deal with any of that. And when they see that, then they might even seek you out. I think Mr. Fuller has talked about that before, because you will stand out as a person who is not having a lot of trouble and conflict on the job. You're just there. Do what you have to do. You have something pleasant to say when you see them. Work-related, that will stand out, and they will appreciate that. The people that are able to remain on that job and are not getting in trouble, write-ups, and that sort of thing. That would be my suggestion on that one. Lastly, and then we'll get to the folks who dialed in. A person wrote in, on the above date and time, I heard a voice yell at me, "What size are you in T-shirts?" Asked a union representative. He had a box of shirts and gave me the size I told him. He said, put this on every Friday in September. I read it and started to feel uneasy from the quote on the shirt, thinking they can't be serious. I'll pause here just to read you what the shirt says, because he has a graphic of it. So the shirt has a picture of the bald eagle, if people are familiar with the symbol for the United States. I think it's on a lot of different seals. I think it's on some of the currency and other items that have symbols that are associated with the United States. So it's got the bald eagle. It says United, and it says, in quotes, without unity, we are victims. And it's got like the American flag in the background, and it's got the number of the union on the shirt, right? And so he continues, every election we have a new union contact and they ask us to picket or put on something to show our union with the white culture, racism, white supremacy. Now, this person didn't really have a question per se, so I guess they're just sharing. But the shirt, again, it says, stay united. Without unity, we are victims. And then it's got the union information on it. For this one, I just might again ask, policy and procedure, are we required to wear the shirt if you really have an issue with it, if you really don't want to wear it. This might, depending on policy and procedure, this might qualify as a uniform. So I would ask, are we required to wear the shirt? And then if they can show me in writing where we're required to wear the shirt. Again, this is one that you can review policy and procedure on your own. So you will know if you are required to wear this shirt. You might even ask why if you're so inclined. Again, the person didn't ask, you know, a question in terms of not wearing it or wearing it, that sort of thing. So that would just, those are just my thoughts in terms of, is this something that you are required to do? And then this is also one that you can make an observation. I don't know how long this person has been on the job, but if it's one of those situations where you've been there long enough where you, it sounds like this person has gone through this period before, where this is something that's required every September or whenever there's election season, where you can observe, are there other people who do not wear this shirt on Friday, and does anything happen to them? So if, you know, Bob comes in and he doesn't wear the shirt, or Jane comes in, she doesn't wear the shirt, it's not a big deal. People are not, you know, pestering and nagging at her or him all day long. Why didn't you wear the shirt? You're supposed to wear the shirt, blah, blah, blah. They're not getting written up. Or if they're able to do this and nothing happens, then that's something that you can have documentation on and say, well, you know, I was here last year, or I was here in 2012, and, you know, on September the 15th, Jane didn't wear her shirt and she was not written up. There were no disciplinary incidents. So is there equal enforcement of policy and procedure on this job? If I do not wear the shirt, is the same going to be true for me, where I'm not nagged, I'm not hounded relentlessly all day long because I didn't wear the shirt? Are we all going to be treated the same? Just things like that where you can observe and see if other people are doing this, or if you're just going to be the only person singled out for not complying with this request. And again, finding out, is this a request or is this something that is being mandated by your employer? Just my thoughts. The number again, 641-715-3640. The code is 564-943-pound. Folks who dialed in with a hand up, feel free if you want to comment on anything that I've read thus far. That is fine. If you have your own incidents and or observations, that is fine as well. Feel free to chime in.
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing? Hello to everybody on the line. My name is Jarrell from Brooklyn. First time caller, long time listener. Workplace incident. I work for a library. We bring books to different districts where I'm at and in different prisons. At my job, there's a white lady who has just become a little too much with the sexual harassment, in my opinion. One story was she says a lot of inappropriate things. I went, I have to pick up books by where she's at because I try to avoid her. So one of the books, I guess a lot of people, you know, from the prison, they get books with women and stuff like that. So it was a book with some women, I think it was the Kardashians or something like that. And she comes up to me and she's like, oh, well, is this what you like? I guess one of them was like in a bikini or something like that. And I just ignored it, you know. And then another one is I was in the elevator, and I don't like being in the elevator with her, but sometimes I'm always in the elevator with her. So just yesterday, I'm in the elevator with her, and she, I don't know the word to say. She bends over and I guess you could say, I guess the word would be grind up against me. I don't know which word to use. And then she looked back at me and said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm fresh. It's really becoming, it's been like this for about a year and a half. It's really starting to become a problem. I know I'm the only black person that works there. I know these white people are not going to believe me if I say, well, you know, she's doing this and she's doing that. So, that's just my workplace racism. Mute my line.
Wow. That, first time caller, right on. Glad to have more folks who are not spectating and participating, sharing. I've heard Mr. Fuller address this before. I think Dr. Welsing has addressed this before on the program. That sort of situation in the workplace, I would take it extremely seriously. If it's any sort of elevator situation or any sort of episode where it could just be you two in a small area alone in an office or something like that, I would avoid that like immediately. If I'm going to get on an elevator and it even looks like she's in close enough proximity that she could hop on the elevator as well, I would wait, catch the next one, whatever. I forgot something, I need to run to the restroom. Any excuse will do. You don't even have to give an excuse. Just I'll wait, let her do what she needs to do, and then catch the next elevator or take the stairs, whatever you need to do to avoid being alone and in any sort of small environment. I think this is another one also that you can employ the technique. I think Mr. Fuller suggested, played it some weeks back, where you don't have to indict her. I think, as you just stated logically, that as a black male, you will not be believed, Nate Parker. You can. I don't know if you all have meetings with like management or everybody who works with this library group or what have you. But if there's any sort of meeting, you can do the exact same thing that he said. Well, you're not indicting her directly. You're not calling her out by name. But you can just say, what is the procedure if there is any sort of inappropriate contact that could be sexual in nature, where you're having someone who is getting in your personal space, or touching you or making comments. You can even use the example. If you get on the elevator and someone is bending close to you or getting really next to you or pushing or getting close to touching you in a private area where you are not comfortable, what is the procedure for addressing that issue? And I think Mr. Fuller said he would make sure to do this when she is present and not calling her out by name, but just asking so you can get clarity about how that sort of thing is dealt with and what is their policy on making sure that that sort of behavior is not happening. And he stated if you can do that, and particularly where you're not calling them out, that just showing that you are serious about this sort of thing, that can do a lot to minimize that behavior, that they will know that you are taking this sort of thing seriously. And since you're not indicting her personally, so it's not giving them an opportunity to feel like they all get to Voltron and come to defend this white woman that you're accusing, since that's not happening, that they can just explain the policy, what it is. You're not calling anyone out by name. You can write down what they say is supposed to happen, what's supposed to be done, and see if that helps in kind of backing her up. But I would make I would take it serious. I would not be around her in close proximity. I would not be with her on an elevator, and I would make sure that we are never, ever together alone. I would be very clear about that. And if there are any non-white people that you work with in that environment, if you have a rapport and trust them, I might even let them know so that they can help if they see where it's looking like it could be something where it's just you two alone, particularly if it's a black female, where you can have her come to help out so she can be a witness if anything happens, if anything is said. That way you have someone else who can provide testimony if need be down the road. But those are some of the thoughts I have. And then if you want to clear up if something doesn't make sense or sounds like I'm talking crazy, you can let me know. If other folks have suggestions, they can feel free as well.
Can I add one more thing, Gus?
Yes, sir. If you want to add more.
Yeah. Just one more thing that happened. She also came up to me before and told me, this was like 2 days ago, to stop acting hip-hop, whatever that means. I don't know what that means, but this is what she said to me, stop acting hip-hop. So I don't know. But we have a meeting next week, so I'll definitely bring it up. But I trust me, I've been trying to avoid her like the plague. Thank you.
Roz, were you going to come in, sir?
Oh, yes. Good evening to you, Gus, and to the callers and the listeners. I wanted to ask if the caller has been documenting these incidents.
I haven't documented the incidents. I know I should have. I haven't documented the incident. I do have her, though. I have recorded her. I recorded her one time, actually, because she has a, it's really strange. Like she has like a poster, like a calendar of, I can't think of the actor's name, but it's a black actor, and she said something, and my phone was recording one day, and I got her, I have like one recording of her saying something inappropriate. So I do have one thing, but I haven't recorded or documented like the stuff in the elevator and a lot of, you know, the nasty things she says to me. I haven't.
All right, I would definitely suggest to record those incidences, especially the most recent ones, since those will probably be fresh in your mind. Gus, too, I wanted to ask if you can provide the information on that device that that I guess sends the it records every minute and then sends it to your phone, because that might be helpful for him as well. And I also wanted to ask if you were able to read your company manual and if there's any sort of sexual harassment policy in there.
Actually, I just got the company manual again. I've been there for about 5 years. I didn't read it, but, you know, listening to the cows and all, I knew I had to get another manual. I actually got my manual again yesterday, so I'm going to be going over it to really get for the meeting next week. So, no, but I definitely have an intention of doing that.
Yeah, I was going to say incorporate, because I'm pretty sure just about every company has a sexual harassment policy. I would incorporate that policy in what you're speaking about, and then, like I said, still ask them anyway, but just say, this is what I read in the manual in regards to sexual harassment or the potential for sexual harassment. And then that way, at least they know that you know, because a lot of times white people tend to bank on the fact that most people do not read the company manual. So as a result, they manipulate things in their favor to your detriment because, you know, the vast majority of people do not read them. Even white people, for the most part, don't read them. So ultimately, I think that'll give you a nice one-up. And to do it in the meeting with them present is just awesome, because that'll put her on alert without putting her on blast, as they say. So I would say that's a good thing to do. And just write down everything if you can. And if Gus is able to provide that app or whatever, if you just can use your phone to record, you know, if for any reason you do get trapped in a situation where you cannot avoid being in her presence like that, then I would definitely put it on record. So that way, even if she tries to deny it, if it comes to the point where you have to expose what she's doing, you actually have her recorded and they could just listen to what she's saying and listen to your reaction to it and everything. So that way they can get it, you know, right there as it happened, not, you know, her being the white terrorist that she is. And that's all. I'll meet my line. And I wish you the best, too.
The device that he was referencing, it's, you can go to their website. And again, I'm not promoting this. It looks like something that whites might have came up with, but it is a piece of technology that might work. If folks are interested in it, might be something that's helpful in a workplace situation if you know racists are making those sort of tacky comments and what have you, just to have something to defend yourself so you can have a lifetime record. You can go to captureaudio.com, and it's a wristband. It just looks like a regular watch, but you wear it. It's constantly recording, and it's recording in 60-second loops. And so if something happens, she's making a comment, all you do is tap your wrist, and it sends that 60 seconds of audio to your smartphone or whatever device. It sends it there, and then you have it so that you can store it later or whatever you want to do. But it's Capture with a K, CaptureAudio.com, and you'll see the device. And I'm sure if you don't want to get this, I'm sure there are many other devices that you can use that are on. If you have a smartphone or whatever mobile device, I'm sure they have a lot of other options if you want something that's quick and where you can get an audio recording. Fellow folks had thoughts, observations on what they've heard thus far, or if you had your own incident you wanted to share, feel free.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, greetings, everyone. I'll just right now just speak on the two subjects, workplace racism subjects. I recall I may have mentioned them on the program years ago of a very similar situation. Like Mr. Thornton's, where non-white black male having problems on his job with white people. He also mentioned it was racism, white supremacy. And ultimately he killed, I don't recall the exact number. It was something like in the late 90s, early 2000s. He killed somewhere between 3 to 6 white males. It was a sanitation job in Broward County, which is just adjacent to Miami-Dade County. Killed himself in the process. I was so interested in the matter that I actually went to his funeral. And I mean, I didn't really know him or anything like that, but I actually went to his funeral because it sounded very close to Mr. Fuller's maximum compensatory emergency his concept on that. I'm still processing the shooting that took place at our game last Friday, and what so far has come to my mind is due to the global system of racist white supremacy have been dominant in its terroristic way over non-white people, non-white black people, for so long. And I heard Mr. Fuller say this also, that after that long period of time, it actually wears on the non-white collective, not favorably. It wears in a negative way as it continues and continues, and either we don't focus on it like we should to be able to come up with a solution to this problem, it's only going to get worse with the victims. And in turn, what I definitely have noticed out of young black males is our impulsive behavior. And I'll clear that by saying acting without thinking. And then maybe if that person has the time, they would think later. But if they have a chance to think later, they're probably in greater confinement. But for the most part, acting without thinking. The incident was over something very petty. Back and forth type of altercation that began in a summer program trip, and in turn it just kept the parents actually met. The parents between the two young people actually met to settle the matter, and it really they thought that was enough, but it wasn't. But like I said before, the only way I can make sense out of the whole situation of gunfire at a high school football game is, like I said, impulsive behavior, acting without giving any thought. And as we know, this incident similar to this is happening more and more, such as in schools where non-white black people attend, the children attend, as well as a lot of other places that we know of. And that's basically it as far as where my mind is now as far as processing on the what, why, whens, and wheres of that incident itself. Yeah, that's all I can think of. Thank you.
Other listeners, appreciate that, retired firefighter. If other listeners, if you have comments on what you've heard thus far, if you have your own incident you would like to discuss, feel free to chime in.
Can I be heard?
You're a little low, Thomas, in New York.
Good evening. Can I be heard? Is this clearer?
That's better.
Good evening to all. Interesting story so far. I just wanted to give a follow-up on my story. I called the guy Sunday night because Monday I was going to be out. And I explained to him that, you know, it's exactly what you said. It's your personal phone. I wouldn't give him nothing. And, you know, he kind of said he had decided that this lady's job was much more important than his. And he was decided he wasn't giving up anything anyway, and, you know, his stupid theory. And, you know, I told him, you know, he's like, well, what would you have done? I said, man, I would have sent the pictures to HR myself, you know. I probably would have put them in an inner office with no name on them and printed them out and put them in an inner office. I said, I don't believe in saving the white people's jobs. That's what happened. Also, another follow-up on the white female at the job, who I said I suspected has been, you know, coming on. She is being transferred to the Jersey office. Apparently, her position has been terminated, and they gave her the opportunity to move over to the Jersey office. So nice of them. And so she came over yesterday. Oh, you know, as of Monday, you won't see me anymore. And I was thinking, great. But I was like, oh, okay, yeah, have a nice, you know, good luck. But so that was a good thing. And other than that, the gentleman, I think that both you and Roz gave very good advice, bending over and grinding up on you in the elevator. It kind of made me think, because Dr. Welzing, man, I wish Dr. Welzing was able to listen to that Sue Africa episode and give some feedback. Dr. Welzing, she always would say that the man imposes sex on the woman, or the man has to come up except for, you know, in the other situation. And I think that just shows how we're, you know, when it comes to black men, white women become very aggressive because they're the head person in that relationship. It's totally awkward, you know. And so I could see her, you know, he's not paying me any attention. I'm going to, you know, throw it at him. You know, I'm going to show him that, hey. So, yeah, I would take that up at the meeting, because the fact that she's, you know, contacting you with her butt, I mean, that's pretty drastic, man. I haven't experienced that. That's pretty drastic. So I would definitely take Gus's advice, you know, bring it up. Hey, what's the policy for someone grinding up on you in the elevator? You know, because, man, she's pretty much saying, you know, you busy tonight? You know, like, other than that, for the firefighter, his story about the shooting. Unfortunately, when I grew up, every weekend, the football game was Friday night. The public schools all played on one field, and they had to shut down the season because of all the shootings at that stadium. I believe it was like one weekend, they played Fridays and Saturdays. 9 people got shot between the 2 days in that one stadium, and I was in Jersey City. So, yeah, that was way worse back in the days. I haven't really heard of that happening too often. Except for when you brought it up, you know, usually I think that, you know, back in that era, it was a lot worse than it is today. But these kids today, I think that it's always been a reaction of black people to act very impulsively. That's what the system does to us. And I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Yeah, I myself personally have actually had the experience of it several times before last Friday, and so it's not, and even this particular occasion, it wasn't really a surprise, because just the day before, one of the players' home was shot up by. And it's from people that they know, so it's not unusual. The football game becomes a a gathering place to get that type of negative attention. It's going to bring in individuals who have high levels of anti-blackness and also, like I said, confusion and impulsive behavior right along with it. And they are not, they're not just there. Like I heard Mr. Fuller say about the bar scene, and they're not there just to watch a game or to socialize or whatever with their friends. They're there with the intent purpose of causing some level of mayhem, because that's how they get their attention. Yeah.
Other folks who had commentary, workplace racism. Workplace racism, other folks who had commentary.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to share something that happened in the past at my workplace. I typically at my workplace, work start at, you know, in between, you know, 6:30 in the morning and 7 in the morning. So there was a white male, which back then I actually considered this white male my friend, which is something that I don't think goes together as well anymore, a white person and friend. But this white male was considered a friend back when I was more confused. So we were all, I guess, you know, some sort of, we were all like assistants or whatever. Anyway, this person, I'm in, I was in the military. This person didn't show up in time for work, and didn't show up for several hours. So again, work started around 6:30. This person didn't show up until maybe 11:30 or 11:15 or so. He was known to be, you know, I don't want to say a troublemaker, but he just would do a lot of things wrong. And he was known to be getting close to getting some type of disciplinary action against him. But, of course, he was white, so that was, you know, they were a lot more lenient on him. Anyway, so he shows up to work around 11:30. You know, people are calling him. I think this was back when cell phones were just really starting to get popular. And, you know, people were trying to, you know, management was trying to get a hold of him and trying to find out where he was at and what was wrong with him. And he finally shows up, and he's very disheveled, you know, like maybe he just slept in the same clothes he had on last night. And he had he was kind of bruised up. He had bruises on his face. So, you know, a lot of the other coworkers were just kind of talking. I guess we were just kind of talking about, like, man, what's going on with him? And then he told a story to the management that he was beaten up and robbed by, of course, you know, some black people, you know. And all of the non-white black, you know, coworkers of mine, we kind of all thought it was really strange, and then I went up to him after he told management this story and was like, "Hey, man, you, what happened?" And, you know, he told the same, you know, story to me, that basically some black guys beat him up, and this is supposed to be a very physically imposing white male, supposedly. He's supposed to be trained in boxing and just, you know. You know how white, you know, white guys are. He's supposed to be trained in martial arts, and he's not a small guy and kind of physically imposing, so to speak. Anyway, he said some black guys beat him up, and then they didn't take anything from him and just placed him in the bed of his pickup truck, and where he, you know, he was unconscious, and he just woke up, and, you know, and he was woke up and he was beaten up, basically. And then he came straight to work from this beating. And and we were like, and of course I was very suspicious. I was like, hey, I mean, I don't think any black people would just beat you up for no reason, and you didn't get robbed. Nothing happened. You just got beat up, and you were gently placed into the bed of your pickup truck where you woke up the next afternoon, basically. And, so I kept pressing him. You know, again, he was considered a friend. And I was like, man, you're lying, man. You're not telling the truth, man. You're just trying to get over or whatever. And eventually he was like, yeah, man, nothing happened. I got drunk. I got high and drunk, and I just overslept, and I had to come up with a story. So basically he said he took his face and kind of pounded his face against his side mirror on his vehicle to produce bruising on his face. And then he came into work and told a story, and the story was believed, and he didn't get in trouble for that, for him coming in late and not showing up in time. But at the time, I was more confused. I didn't know, it's kind of instinctively deep down, I didn't know that it was racism, but of course I didn't respond to it as I probably would now, knowing what I know now. But I did know, like, I was like, wow, this white guy is telling a story on some black guys beating him up, and it wasn't true. But anyway, that's my my workplace racism. Thanks for letting me share.
Standard operating procedure, always find a nigra to blame. White friends as well. Other folks have commentary that they would like to share. Incidentally, out of all the different times that I've seen black people get in trouble on the job or be accused of things, I don't think I can recall one incident where a black person made up some story that a white person did something to them, and that was, you know, why things went wrong, where they just lied and said some fictitious white individual messed them over, and that was the source of their problems, when that actually wasn't true and they had just been shiftless and, you know, not doing their job. I cannot really recall, whereas I think that's a pretty common procedure for whites on the job exclusively, is what I'm talking about right now, for them to just blame something that went wrong on another black person. That is a very, very common racist practice. Other folks who have commentary they would like to share, either your own incident or if you have suggestions, thoughts on things that we've heard thus far?
So what gets me is the pickup truck, man. The pickup truck is the dead giveaway. That's the white boy move to put someone in the back of the pickup truck. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking clean. Like, who would think of that?
I have to agree with that, too. I don't think that's normal procedure. With a black person, they're going to leave you wherever you are. Wherever they knock you out is where you're going to sit until you wake up, whenever you wake up. So I didn't believe it either. I just find that to be telling, like Gus said, very much standard operating procedure. And tacky, trifling, terroristic white people. I did have, weirdly enough, an incident that happened today with a coworker of mine, and then an update as well. Like I was saying last Thursday, people are leaving my company in droves. They made some really stupid financial decisions, which white people do with a lot of things. They're not that intelligent. They're just cunning, and they have no morals and no scruples and no boundaries to their moral debauchery. But anyway, as people are leaving, and from what I'm finding out, more and more people are leaving than I ever thought. And this is up in the upper levels of executive management down to the people who are the everyday grunts. And my coworker, who actually sits next to me, she's a lesbian Mexican female. And today was her last day at work, so they were supposed to do an exit interview with her. And one of the main reasons she ended up leaving was because she was just fed up with the way things were functioning. And she's worked in the healthcare field for a number of years. And she actually gave them quite a few tips and pointers on how to improve processes to make things run a little bit smoother. And it's stuff that, you know, that if they did listen to her, things would have been a lot different in certain aspects than they turned out to be, which is part of the reason things are happening the way they are. So she kind of just said, let me get something else that she did. So today was the last day she was supposed to go for an interview, and that was supposed to be at 4. So she left. Myself, my other two coworkers were at the desk holding things while she was away, and they never showed up. She said she stayed there for 55 minutes, got fed up after the 55 minutes, and came back to the desk. Matter of fact, it wasn't 4, it was 3 o'clock. So she came back around 4 o'clock, and then one of the people who was supposed to interview her, she basically said, this is highly unprofessional. She told him, because she's very outspoken, so she said, this is part of the reason I'm leaving. Look at this. I can't even get a decent exit interview, and you can't even respect my time to be on time. So she kind of gave it to him at that point. And ultimately, the woman ended up apologizing and facilitating a meeting within, I guess, like around a little after 4. So she goes to the meeting. She comes back at about 5. And she basically just, she was supposed to be there until, I believe it's 6 o'clock. No, actually, she gets off at 7 normally. So she was so fed up with them that once she got out of the meeting, she heard about it, left. If I didn't blame her, I would have done the same thing. So that's the workplace racism incident that I bore witness to, because I noticed when white people have left the company for other jobs, they're not treated that way at all. They get their exit interview in a timely manner, and most times they leave the job earlier in the day if they would like. With her, she was trying to, you know, just do the right thing and stay till the end of the day, but they really aggravated her and pissed her off, so she basically left. And the update I got is actually the, I talked about a black male who we actually grew a friendship out of this relationship we had at the job. And he's now transitioning to another position. His last day will be next week, Thursday. So he had gone for an interview. They really liked him. They made him a really solid offer. And then after they made him the offer, the guy who made the offer ended up having to leave, I think, on vacation, or he had something personal to do. And the offer had changed when it came via someone else. So he had basically said to them, well, I'm not going to take the position with this nonsense that you're offering. He said, you need to go back and come back better than that, or meet what you promised me in the beginning. So the guy finally came back from wherever he was, and you know, they told him they really wanted him, and he apologized for everything that happened, and essentially they offered him exactly what he was looking for. So he will be transitioning, and of course, once he gets settled where he is, he'll be able to, because he actually wants to pull a few people from where I am, because there are quite a few, I would say, quality workers that are black and non-white, and he wants to basically, because a lot of people are leaving anyway, he just wants to basically pick from their talent pool. So I'm just glad he said I'll be one of the first people he'll reach out to. So I'm just going to continue to look for other work in the meantime, but just buy my time at the same time. And if he comes with something, then I'll make the transitions before things really fall apart where I am. Or if something else comes along, then I'll make my transition to someplace else. That's my my update for today, and thank you for taking the call.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Okay, I wanted to respond to the first caller from Brooklyn. Was talking about the white female. I think he said that he was the only black person on the job. And in my opinion, I think that recording the white female would be the best option. And I wanted to throw a question out there concerning that situation as well. If he doesn't have recorded evidence or, you know, some kind of documented proof of her behavior, if he brings up, you know, the sexual harassment policy in the meeting, could that possibly backfire on him? And I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Good question. The reason that I give that suggestion, and again, I'm just sharing Mr. Fuller, that was something where I asked him specifically about this sort of thing with any sort of sexual abuse on the job. He's very specific in terms of, number one, you're not calling out anyone specifically, so you're not going in and saying, you know, Helen was, you know, grinding on me in the elevator and saying that she's fresh. You're not going in doing that so that it becomes a he said, she said type thing. And exactly what's going to happen is that the whites are going to rally. They're going to Voltron to defend the white woman and go against the black male. Same thing would happen if it was a black female and a white man, or even if it was a black female and a white woman, or, you know, however it plays out, where you're not indicting that white person. You're not going in and saying, well, Helen did this to me. You're just saying, what is the policy? And if they ask, well, who did this? Who are you accusing? I didn't come here to accuse anyone. I just want to get clarity about what the policy and procedure is. We're dealing with this sort of thing, one, to make sure that this is, you know, is this acceptable behavior, number one, to happen on the job. And I think, you know, the vast majority of workplaces, particularly if he's working at a library or something like that, they will say, no, this is not acceptable. Oh, okay, well then, what is the procedure for dealing with this sort of incident, just so that you can be clear about how that is supposed to be resolved to make sure that that doesn't continue happening. And I think Mr. Fuller said that he has used that technique before, and it worked, because no one is being indicted. You're just seeking clarity that it can kind of work to diffuse it from it being some sort of thing where they come at you to say, well, this didn't happen, and you're just making this up and trying to make, you know, such and such individual looking bad, because you're not indicting any specific white person, if that makes sense.
Hey, Gus, this is a caller from Brooklyn. Can I add into that?
Yes, sir.
I totally agree with you on That's what I'm planning to do on Monday at the next meeting, because I think I was going to try to tell the supervisor something like that. But even before, I wasn't, you know, that aware of racism and all that. I knew, because she's a lot of these guys want her in the office. So I knew they wasn't going to be like, nigga, they don't want you. You know what I mean? So that's why I think that I'm definitely going to use that when I go into the meeting, because telling anybody else, they're not going to believe me. They're going to make it like, you know, why would she want you? You know what I mean? So I agree with that.
Can I add something else, Gus?
Yes, sir.
The way this female sounds, and then you added just a little more clarity for me. You say all the white guys in the place want her. So now if the black male goes in the meeting and just, you know, question the procedure, it sounds like this female, it sounds like the damage may be done with him bringing that up in the meeting, if, you know, he doesn't have documented evidence of her behavior, if he's the only black person there, it sounds to me that it will be very easy for the whites to gang up on him.
That could, I mean, certainly, system of racism, white supremacy, whites gang up on black people all the time, but at least for me, processing the logic, it sounds like it would be less likely than if you go in calling out this person specifically, even if you didn't go into a meeting. Let's say you had some sort of private conversation with, like, management, supervisor, something like that, HR. You had a private conversation with them. To me, it seems much more likely that they're going to do this group effort to go after an attack, go on a counteroffensive against this black male for making this sort of accusation that is unfounded because you don't have documentation, nobody else saw it, you don't have a recording, as opposed to just getting clarification about policy and procedure. At least to me, it seems a lot more difficult, perhaps even a little bit less likely that whites would gang up, because again, you're not making an accusation, you're not going in to indict somebody, you're not saying I want this person fired, you're not even naming anybody specifically, you're just trying to get clarification about policy. The only, in at least in my view, and I could be wrong, you all can point out if I'm, you know, talking crazy or if I'm just missing something that's obvious, but someone would have to self-indict, right, for there to be an attack, to be an offensive about this person asking for clarification about what is acceptable behavior on the job. For someone to take offense to that, they would almost have to be self-incriminating, saying, well, wait a minute, that's what I did. Are you saying what I did? Like, they would have to admit that they did that for that sort of thing to take root. And I don't see, particularly in a public setting, at least to me, it seems unlikely that most whites would self-indict to say, well, I did such and such and such and such, and I don't think that there's anything incorrect about that. And, you know, I'm upset about you even asking for clarification about, is that correct? She might be upset privately. Certainly that could happen. But since you didn't call her out by name, at least to me, it seems like it would be less likely that whites would have some sort of rally and they would go after you to say that you accused or you tried to defame this white woman. If that makes sense, if I'm talking crazy, if folks think that that is not logical, feel free to point out the flaws.
I agree with that. The anonymity is the path of least resistance because it's not personal to that one person, number one. Number two, like you said, they would have to self-incriminate. And also, if I'm not mistaken, the caller did say that he has at least one recording with her speaking to him inappropriately. So he does have at least one recording, if I am correct in what I remember. And then also, the fact is, if he's the sole black male on the job and all the other white men on the job are infatuated with this this terrorist, then ultimately, as a white female, she's not going to give these white men the impression that she's going after a black male as a white female. I couldn't see her, you know, lifting the veil on that at all, to even self-incriminate on that level to say, yeah, I'm the one who did it. Then she's not going to do that as a white female with only one black male on the job. And then also, for the black male, if that information was to come out, it might foster aggression from the white males because they're going to say, well, what's so special about this nigga that she don't want any of us? And they'll form like Voltron to, you know, come at you in a grimy way simply because they're offended by the fact that them as white men can't get this white female that all of them are attracted to, yet the one black male, the sole black male, is the one that's being accosted and sexually terrorized, which is what they all wish would be happening to them. So that's my take on it, and I do agree with you. But if the caller from Brooklyn can just reiterate that, if I'm correct, that he does have at least one recording where she is speaking to him in an inappropriate sexual manner. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, I got one recording.
Perfect. And I was thinking that the reason, just for the other caller that brought up that fact, that was the main reason I thought of the recording, because of the fact that if there isn't any proof, and the best proof you have is her speaking in her own words, rather than you writing something down, because it's just a history. I mean, you look at Black Wall Street, it was started by the same thing, a young black male in an elevator. I believe he tripped and stumbled, and he grabbed a white woman's dress to try and brace himself so he didn't fall. And she basically went and said that he, like, raped her or sexually touched her or something. And that's what set off Black Wall Street. So when it comes to these sorts of intimate rape sort of situations, because that's essentially what it is, for her to rub her sour pooch on you is disgusting. And, you know, it's ultimately it's just the idea of having that recording is the best proof that you would have. And then you just document everything as well to back up what's actually happening. So if you can get the recording, that's the best thing. But the fact you have one is really great. And then other than that, just document every incident. Don't let any incident go by with that female, even if it's something small or seemingly small. If she just says something, if she does something, whatever it is, just document, 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 because that'll come in handy if you have to take it to the next level as far as having to deal with HR and get her disciplined or reprimanded for her rape-like behavior. Thank you.
Can I just add, I think to answer the gentleman's question, the logic in bringing it up in the meeting is that you're not, like Gus said, you're not indicting anyone. You're asking a question on what is the policy, you know, that they have to answer this. This is your job, you know. Someone got to answer it. They got to get back to you later or something. What is the policy regarding being sexually harassed at the job? What's the policy regarding someone rubbing up against you in an inappropriate manner in an elevator? Now, you know, they have to tell you the policy, you know, what it is on the books. Like, now, you're not telling them nothing that's going to get you in trouble. They, you know, they don't have the answer. They're in trouble. So I think that that's the logic behind it. And also, now that he added that this is a white female that the other white men want, I mean, if you were to engage in some type of activity with her or interaction, man, those white men would have it out for you seriously.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to add really, really quickly, because that is a legitimate concern the caller in Wisconsin brought up. If you have that concern that even you asking for clarification about what the policy and procedure is in terms of how you deal with sexual harassment on the job, if you have that, since you're just presenting a hypothetical situation, even though you're taking an exact incident that happened to you and you want to use exactly what happened to the detail, you can even switch it around and say, well, since we're talking hypothetically, let's say I was in an elevator and I rubbed myself up against such and such, but you do it exactly what they did and make sure that the president who violated you is present, you can do it that way. And I think that you would accomplish the same thing, because all you want them to do is explain the policy, and you are sending a signal to the person who sexually violated you that this is not acceptable behavior. I am not just going to tolerate this. I am serious about making sure that this never happens again, and it's still the same thing. You're not indicting that person, so you minimize the likelihood of whites just saying, oh, well, this is just some lying nigger, and we're going to rally to get rid of him. You could even present it that way, since you are just presenting a quote-unquote hypothetical situation, if that makes sense. The caller that was going to clarify, calling Brooklyn?
Oh, yes.
That was genius. That was genius, what you just said.
I definitely agree, Gus. I definitely agree. When the meeting comes up, I'm going to try to be as codified as possible. That was the last, for me, basically, that was the last straw, the elevated thing. That was the last straw. As far as the white males don't like me at the job anyway, you know what I mean? From an incident a couple of years ago that happened. So, I'm basically on my own here. I presume that I'm still on the job because I'm a very good worker. Like, I don't have problems with working or nothing like this, but this white woman is really starting to become a problem. So I do appreciate, the feedback from all you guys, because, you know, it got to the point where I'm like, I don't know what she's going to do next, and I'm not trying to get caught out there, you know, anything crazy. So I really do appreciate it.
There was one concern that I had with the presenting it in a reverse fashion is the fact that white people are liars, especially white females, and especially when it comes to sex and sexual situations. And she might actually use that situation to maybe preemptively say that you did something to her first. So that's just something that I think about, because I've seen white females do the most and say the most diabolical things. So I don't know if presenting it in a way in which you're the perpetrator would necessarily be positive, because of the fact that she might take up that information and maybe use it in a reverse fashion to make it look like, oh, well, he actually did that to me on the elevator. It's a possibility, but I could be wrong. It's a good idea, but still, as a black male dealing with a white female and knowing what they're capable of, it's just something that popped in my head.
I have a question. Do we think that the white males on the job, if they are, you know, pursuing this female, she's, you know, hot to trot or whatever, do we think that they are not aware of her sexual aggression toward this black male?
Caller in Brooklyn, do you think the... Other white males specifically on the job, do you think they are aware of her aggressive behavior towards you specifically?
No. I don't think they're aware at all. Whenever I have interaction with her, if I got to pick up something, because I have to pick up things like by her desk and stuff like that, but they're not really around. So she's real sneaky, man. I don't think they know. She does things when it's kind of just like me and her. And those are rare moments, but it just seems like it's just becoming more and more and more on the regular. So, no, I know the white males don't know. They would have tried to sit. I think they would have said something. These white males are a real savage on this job. They would have tried to say something, or they would have said something. Plus, they already don't like me because of a past incident. So, no, I know they don't know.
Okay, what I would say is that, in my opinion, white people are non-confrontational, and just because they seem like they don't know, I wouldn't assume that they didn't know, and I would ask, what is the nature of the recording that you have of this white female?
Oh, I have a recording of her saying some racist things about Kanye West.
Okay, see. And so with that recording, it really doesn't indict her behavior towards you. So now,
yeah,
if you, in my opinion, go in the meeting and just hypothetically suggest this, in the court of public opinion, you could be convicted. Not according to policy or, you know what I'm saying, or nothing like that, but who this nigga think he is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so to bring it up hypothetically, and to use that real situation, in my opinion, gives the white female an opportunity to, you know, group and regroup and then come up with something that could turn around on you.
Right.
It is something to ponder on. I do want to nab in some of the other callers. And again, whites do this all the time, regardless whether you do something, whether you don't do anything. They do this sort of thing anyway. I would at minimum say, again, if we're thinking that if you go in and you ask about clarification on policy and procedure, I would say, number one, for folks, if you are a black person and you have asked for clarification on policy and procedure about anything, has it been a tendency where there's some sort of retaliation where whites come back at you just for asking a question about policy and procedure, where, again, you're not making an indictment against anyone, you're not going in to get somebody fired, reprimanded, you're just asking a question just so that I can be clear about what's expected of us on the job and what is the protocol for dealing if such a problem comes up? What tends to happen? Do white people rally? Do they come after you? Are they more cautious in how they deal with you? I think that's definitely something that folks can think about. Again, I would toss out as well, this was something where I asked Mr. Fuller about this exact sort of situation where black people are being violated sexually on the job, how to deal with. And he said the track record on this has worked pretty well, that the procedure, at least from his observation, has not been that the whites retaliate directly for that. It tends to be that they leave you alone, that they tend to be a little bit more cautious. But that certainly is not going to always be the case. Nothing is going to be 100% in how we go about dealing with this. Before I transition to get the caller in Wisconsin, did you have another suggestion? If you don't think that's the best route to go, did you have another suggestion in terms of what you would recommend for solving this problem?
I know that he is being terrorized, and the only option that I see is getting her recorded, because if you don't get her recorded, I mean, we know the history of white women and black males, so, you know, that's, I mean, you know, it's a tough situation to be in. The only thing I can think of is having her recorded to document her behavior. Other than that, it's his word against hers.
And again, that I just want to emphasize, that's why you are not making this my word against her word. You're just asking for clarification about policy and procedure. Again, and at least in my view, and it could be an error. Well, and again, I encourage folks to follow up. If you participate in workplace racism or you have any problems, you share any incidents, follow up, because that's very helpful. If you decide to use any of the suggestions that you hear on the program, let us know how things proceed. If you decide these niggers are crazy, I can use my brain computer and come up with my own strategies for how to diffuse these problems, fine. But let us know how things go, because that is also informative. That way it's not just it's thrown out there. We kind of get to see how these problems are resolved and even how things evolve. Because, like, once you deal with this problem, there will be other things that are coming down the pike. It's not like things are just going to be perfect after you resolve this issue. The racists just continue doing what they're doing. So it's just going to be an ongoing battle. It is ongoing warfare in terms of what whites are doing against non-white people. But again, you are making every effort in this situation. And I would say, generally speaking, to not make it a my word against their word. Just what's policy and procedure, what's supposed to happen, so that we can be clear about how we're supposed to conduct ourselves on the job, doing everything to take it away from being anything where it's your word against another white person's word, because generally 10 times out of 9, you're not going to win that. Other folks that we have not heard from, people that we've not heard from, if you dialed in and you had either a personal incident that you wanted to share or other observation, you should be with us. Feel free.
Can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a workplace racism. I went on a job interview this week, maybe last week, and last Thursday, a week ago. So I had to applied online, and that have this tricky name, so they don't know who they're calling until I get there. So she called me, asked for me, and then she told me where the place was. But it's kind of, when you apply, it lets you know where you're applying. So it's in Richmond, California, a couple of cities away from Berkeley. So she let me know, well, you know it's in Richmond. I was like, yeah, I know it's in Richmond. I applied online. So she... So I came down for the interview, and then she saw me, and then she acted like she didn't saw me. She acted like she didn't see me because I wasn't who she was expecting. So I go in, and she's in the corner, and then someone lets her know that I'm there, and then she's looking. She's like, "Oh, are you whomever you are?" And then I say, "Yeah." "Oh, okay. Well, you're meeting with me." So I had to wait maybe 20 minutes to meet with her, even though I had an interview at a specific time. I still had to wait for her. So I go in. There's nowhere for her to interview me because none of this together. And I think she's coming down from another state. So she, you know, she's not very friendly. She just looks this kind of poker face. And so did I. So we go in a break room. So she had to escort someone out of the break room because they're going for break to have their lunch or whatever. And then she tells them, "Well, can I have this room for 15 minutes and then you can come back?" I'm sure that wouldn't have worked for the person that needs the break. So I go in there to be interviewed, and it's dirty for me. And I'm just sitting, looking, and it's dirty. And so she just asked me a lot of questions about the job and how would I fit and what I would be doing. And then I just said, well, thereafter I mentioned the reviews on Google. I said, yeah, because I Googled the company. She said, "Oh my gosh, you Googled the company?" "Yeah, I Googled your company." "Okay, you guys have very scary reviews right here. They're not that good." And so she's, "Oh my gosh, you're the first person who's ever Googled the company that I've interviewed." I was like, "Well, yeah, I had to Google the place because I wanted to know what's really going on at this site." So I'm looking around, and I see why they have these negative reviews, because I don't know what they're doing in there. But they're not cleaning. So she says, "Yeah, you know, people just say anything. You know, I try to respond to them." You know, I said, "Well, no one's responded." I said, "All you see is what you've seen. And I just checked the reviews for the past 4 or 5 weeks. No one's responding back to the people. And you guys rely on the Patreons to keep your lights on. You can't have those kind of reviews." And I know I'm just interviewing, but since it was out there, I just didn't understand how you had these kind of reviews, but you need the people that are making the reviews to keep your lights on. So she's, "Oh yeah, I know. And we're working on that, and we're working on a response too. I guess we haven't responded, but we're working on it." Okay, that's fine. So then I take notes everywhere I go because I can't retain all that information because I have a lot of things in my head. So she made a statement, "You're the only one that's taking notes." Like, out of all the people you've ever interviewed, no one's taking notes? "No, no one's taking notes. And as a matter of fact, you're the only person whose name I can pronounce. Out of all 8 people that I've interviewed today, 2 people showed up, and you're the only person whose name I can pronounce." Wow, so I have a common name, and I'm sure that in that vicinity, there's Spanish and blacks applying for the job. So that's how I took it, because most Caucasians have names that you can pronounce. So thereafter, she just letting me, she keeps reiterating all the things that we had went over. And then she asked me, did I have any questions? And I really didn't, because they were already answered. And of course I had to do the background check and, just to make sure that I was cleared, no criminal record and so forth. But she made a statement,
"I would need you, since you're so well-spoken, I would need you to do what you do, and then I'll train you on the front desk, or have somebody train you on the front desk, and then you can go to way out, like, the white cities, basically, San Rafael and San Ramon." And she's like, "They're a little different than Richmond, so you'd have to know how to deal with them because they're a little different than Richmond." I said, I know that San Rafael and San Ramon is a lot different than Richmond because there's white people there. There's not a lot of white, well, you get white people in Richmond, but not, they're not like that. It's a different atmosphere in those Caucasian neighborhoods. So she's like, "Were you still comfortable working there?" "Sure, it's the same thing as here. I still have to go by the book, go by your procedures." So
So I ended up getting, passing the background check and getting the job. So the lady called me, same lady. So I walk away because I see her New Mexico phone number. I know it's her. That's the only person called me from Albuquerque. And so I, hi, how are you? Were you sleeping? You sound sleep. Now, mind you, it's 11 in the afternoon. And no one sleeps. So I said, oh, no, I'm not sleeping. I'm watching the news. I just had to walk away from the television so I could hear you. Okay. And then she just kind of gave me the rundown on the job and the attire and how I would be cross-trained to do two different things. And that's it. But I just thought that was very interesting, just the interview procedure, because I don't know how they don't expect us to think and dig into what they're doing. They just expect us to be so happy to be called. Oh my gosh, she called me. Oh, yes. And I just kind of dealt with her similar to the way she dealt with me. So that's all. So that's my workplace racism. And thanks for taking my call.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I did want to comment. I think it was a few weeks back where I had shared. I think it is a great idea, part of workplace counter racism, to do research on the company in advance before you take the job. And I had said then, even if you are not in position, if you do your research and you find all sorts of information that this is a horrendous, toxic work environment, even if you're not in position as a result of getting that information to decline the job, that still is better for you. That, if anything, that's page one on your documentation on this new job, all the information that you find when you do the research on your new place of employment. And at least in my view, that would be question number one, or even if that's not your first question, that would be a question to ask once you have the job. I wouldn't ask in, you know, the interview process, but once you have the job, that would be a great question to ask. If you do your research and it comes up these, you know, negative reviews, or if they have incidents that have been reported of allegations of racism within the company, if it's at the specific location where you're going to be working, or if it's within the company period, you can ask. I saw this report when I did my research before I signed on to work here. What steps have been taken to ensure that this problem doesn't reoccur, and or what are the current or revised policies and procedures for dealing with those, this sort of incident should it reoccur on the job? In my view, that's very important, because that same thing, it sends a signal. I'm serious and I'm informed about this environment, and I can write that down immediately. So if something does happen, bam, I asked in training. As soon as I signed on here, I asked about this, and this is what I was told is supposed to take place if, you know, such and such incident happens. It could be something dealing with racism. It can be something dealing with sexual harassment, all of the above. You can get that information when you first sign on. But that's just, in my view, I think it is a very, very good idea to research any place where you are going to go work for this new organization. Do your research. That can be page one. Anything that you find, that can be page one. And if something happens to you, that is beautiful. If you have documentation that there is a pattern of this sort of thing happening on the job, and this pattern extends before I even began my employment with this particular organization, that is outstanding, because now it's not just something where it's isolated to me. There seems to be a record of this sort of thing happening here, and they still haven't corrected this problem. So definitely kudos, and the note taking always. I think that's brilliant. They particularly do not expect us niggers to be doing a whole lot of writing and paying close attention to things that are happening, taking notes so that we can be well informed about the environment in which we work. Other folks comment anything they stuck out, or if we have other people that we have not heard from, if you want to share your own incident, feel free. You should be with us.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. Is my volume at a good level to speak?
Awesome.
Okay, excellent. This is Lady. I did want to say that for the first-time caller, the things that he shared, you know, that was horrendous. And I'm very sorry that that's happening to him. She is definitely grooming you like a pedophile would groom a victim, so that she can just continuously victimize you. So, yeah, you definitely need to to something because she's just going to get more aggressive, and you're going to have an incident like me where she just, who knows, exposes herself or jumps on you in some kind of way. I started a new job, which is very dysfunctional, and I'm in the situation, like you just said, Gus, where I really can't decline this job, even though I want to. This nursing home is one of a series of, I think the word is habitually closed, facilities that a private owner, so it's a gentleman, and like he owns a lot of small nursing homes in the city, and they're always closed down about or getting shut down for violations. I'd say exactly 16 years ago, my mother was in one of his nursing homes, and it was closed down. And even though I was like 16 and a kid, I facilitated getting my mother out of this nursing home because the things that I saw were so grotesque. Even though we had already wanted her out of there, I had to make sure that I got her out of there and I took care of her because it was very disgusting. And I remember having a conversation with his staff where they told me I was a child and I needed to stay in a child's place. But anyway, I went back prior to the initial orientation that happened this Tuesday. So I went in Monday and tried to get the employee handbook. I was refused, so I insisted and insisted, and I was told, okay, here, I'll give you this, but this is probably old and out of date. I got home late, so I didn't really get to read it anyway. And then I went in Tuesday, and it was the exact same thing with a tremendous amount of errors. It was in this handbook, all they did was slap on the first page the new name of the facility, because this is what happens with this gentleman. And a lot of RNs and LPNs and CNAs lose their right to work in the field because there's always some issue. But it still had inside of the book, it was referring to itself as the old name. And they open themselves up under new names, and then they just brand themselves as this new name and say that they're under new management when it's not. The owner does this. Like, literally, he owns over three. Every 5 years or less, his facilities are closed down and opened up again. So this is a place where I want to get out of as soon as possible. When the policy, because they always like to read to you the policy and procedure book, there were several or eight black women who were hired, so we were all given orientation at the same time. One was quote-unquote considered biracial. So I thought that was a little, are they putting us all together like this, or is it just me? The procedures and things were read to us, but they did not follow this policy book that was given to us. And I request after orientation if I could have what the nurse educator was reading to us. And she said no, because I told her this isn't follow this, and some of this is not inside of this handbook. I did not fully read this handbook. I only skimmed it literally for 5 or so minutes when I got home, so I don't consider that reading it. After that, she said no, because she does not have what she needs to print it, which is true. She doesn't have anything in her office, but she should be able to get something from downstairs, and she didn't want to do that. During her reading of the policy and procedures, she went on a 20 to 30 minute rant about the function of the facility. This is a very old nurse. She looks like she's in her 70s. And a lot of us women were looking at each other like, oh my God, what did we just get ourselves into because of her rant? there were a lot of things we weren't told, a lot of things that are unsettled. I found out today, because I had to go back and get a PPD reading, that we are in a union. We have fees. No one has told us what our fees are, because I try to stay away from jobs that are unionized, because I don't think, as a black female, they're going to represent me anyway. So then I just get $100 or so taken out of my paycheck every week for no representation. So I usually try to steer away from those types of places. She didn't know because she's an RN and she doesn't have to pay union dues. So I've asked a few people. No one has said anything. No one knows anything. The training, I thought that I was going to be starting on the floor. I could have started supposedly this weekend. I'm going to start next weekend, or at least that's what I wanted. And I was told today, oh, no, 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 you have to calm down and do computer training for 30 hours. I was told for a full week, and I tried to get the just. Finally, someone told me 30 hours needs to be done. But they don't know how I'm going to do it or how any of the other nurses are going to do it who, by the way, have started since Tuesday, because we're supposed to have that done before we even go on the floor, because there's not enough computers available. Benefits, they literally refuse to discuss benefits with us, exactly how that's going to work out, because we don't need to know. I was told we don't need to know that. It has to be after 90 days of hire. I was told that at least three times. I was supposed to do 312s, and I requested to work Saturday and Sunday and just do 216s and kind of suffer through that because I homeschool my kids, and I don't want to have some crazy situation come about to say, on Fridays you're not with your kids homeschooling, you're violating some kind of law. And so I just wanted to do the 216s on the weekend. But they're going to let me do that, but they're still going to give me some type of prorated part-time, which I don't understand at all. I don't understand how the pay works with that. I was just spewed a whole bunch of things, and I'm like, okay, we'll come back to this because it was just, I didn't understand all these numbers and 6/8 of some kind of pay she was telling me I was going to get if I worked holidays. That was about it. I just thought it was, again, very strange that all of the black, although it is a lot of black people who work here, and again, the white females are all in the management positions. I just thought it was real strange that all of us, it was all black women being oriented on the same day. I don't know. That's it with what's going on with this job, and I'll keep you guys updated on, you know, whatever comes up.
Wow. At least from it sounds like you have already made the same conclusion. But any sort of job where the policy and procedure either is not viewed as being very important, or if they give you the manual and it's a lot of errors and, you know, looks like it hasn't been updated, or I guess they said that it has been updated. I'm not clear if they gave you the updated version of the policy or not. That already should be major warning in terms of the environment that you're in, that they clearly are not following their own rules and regulations. And that, just to me, if you are a victim of racism, a non-white person, that anything could happen to you in this environment. It sounds like you already had confirmation of that. If they have a track record of facilities being closed and violations and that sort of thing, you already know that that's the type of environment that you're in. So, I mean, you can expect any type of thing to happen if you're in that sort of environment. I've had the misfortune of working in environments like that, and I mean, it's just a horrendous situation. Not any type of workplace situation under racism, white supremacy is bad, but I mean, that is an acute type of stress and an acute challenging workplace when you just know up front that there's just no regard for, you know, policy, procedure, doing things in a correct manner. We don't even have the pretense of putting out a manual with correct spelling and what have you, and not errors and what have you, to at least make it look like we're trying to do the correct thing. We're not even willing to put that much effort into it. That just lets you know the type of environment that you're in. certainly same. With that sort of thing, I would certainly keep my resume up to date and see if you can find a better environment, because that just sounds like, even if it's not you personally where they're attacking you and making things difficult for you, it sounds like this sort of facility, the same thing could happen that's happened to other facilities where it ends up getting closed down or they have violations or whatever the case may be. So I certainly would, you know, make an effort to not get comfortable in this spot at all, looking to keep, you know, resume updated and that sort of thing, so that you can at least try to get in a better situation than this, because this just sounds like, for a variety of reasons, the whole thing could go very, very bad, and with short notice, if just from based on what you've shared thus far.
Can I speak to the situation, guys?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, thank you. I'm sorry you're going through that. I was going to say, it seems like there's a lot of potentially illegal things going on there. I remember when I was coming up, there was a club in Brooklyn in Bed-Stuy called the Rainbow Ballroom, and it was notorious for getting shot up. I actually almost got killed there one night myself. And every time there was a shooting, they would change the name, and the same owner would open it up under a different name, and more people would get shot or killed, and then he would just do the same thing. And I remember eventually the city actually closed it down permanently due to the fact that he was doing this. And to me, the fact that you said that he's changing the name like this, repeatedly like this, is a sign that there's something illegal going on there. Then when you talk about the fact that there's all white females in management positions, normally when there's criminal activity, you'll find that there's all white people that are in management positions, because they're usually in cahoots with the owner in doing certain things or helping them get away with certain things. And then also the legality of the manual, the fact that you have a manual where they just slap, you know, a cover on it, essentially, with the name of the new company, but yet the wording and the verbiage is speaking to the company under the old name. That is a legal document. So how can you have it addressed as the manual for a new company, yet all the information and the name of the company within that manual itself is referencing a company that's supposedly defunct or non-existent? So that in and of itself seems very, very off-kilter as far as from a legal standpoint, because that is something you can take to court to defend yourself if they do something in violation of those rules and policies. So, I mean, there's a... illegalities that he might be involved in, because it seems like he might be on some real criminal activity that's being held from you all. And on just the whole idea of them not giving you the other information you requested, if it was regarding, you know, pay or vacation or whatever, these are essential things you need to know before accepting a position, yet they're asking you to accept the position without knowing very pertinent details. And all of these things speak to me of a lot of underhanded things. So just try and be as cognizant as possible while you're looking for another position elsewhere as to what's going on around you, so that, God forbid, they don't potentially have you or anyone else that's black there partaking in potentially illegal activity that you're not aware of, because just with everything you're explaining, the red flags are just numerous. And I do wish you the best. And again, I'm sorry for you, just like I'm sorry for the guy in Brooklyn. You know, I just wish you the best.
Yeah, I definitely like to say they made us sign. This was so many papers that they made us sign. And after like two or three people asked questions about particular things within that we had to sign, we were told to just hurry up and sign everything because I have to do this, this, and this, and this. So I didn't sign a lot of that stuff, and I've been going in. Like, I went in Tuesday, pretty much Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just for like this or that, like the PPD thing, and then to get the scan. And so I went in Wednesday to, you know, get our code and scan our, do our finger image, and she had those papers that I didn't sign, because some of them, I was like, I'm not signing this, what? And one of them was, because I wasn't going to sign it without clarity, one of the papers was that I'm signing this acknowledging that there are flaws within the policy and procedure book, and that even though this is referencing such and such nursing home, we're really referring to the new name, such and such nursing home. It was like, oh my God, this is strange. So, yeah, that was one of the documents that we had to sign to say, we know that this says this nursing home on here, but this is not really, we're talking about this nursing home. Another thing is with that manual, the printout was so sloppy and grotesque. They did not send this to a professional print company or anything, which probably would have been cheaper for them to do. It's so blurry, and many of the papers are crooked and cut off. And I also asked for another copy of that because of the shabby print job, and I was told no. So that was like another problem for me. I'm very particular about even my own journals and, you know, like personal files and that type of thing outside of, you know, I cannot read some of the stuff, bothers me. I have to have my paper crisp and it has to read, you know, well as far as the print job. And this just does not, and they will not give new ones because they said it's so many pages, we can't just keep printing new ones. And I'm like, well, why didn't you just get it printed nicely? So that was another little odd thing with this job. I'm going to keep my resume updated. It's very hard because summers are best for me because I can have my kids in camp, and then I can do my five-week training, three-week training, whatever it is, and not worry about missing school time because I'm starting a new job, and they're going to want me to do training, which is usually going to be Monday through Friday, and I'm going to have to compensate in the evening when I'm educating my kids, you know, and be extremely exhausted or whatever. So that's why I really try to, you know, try to get wherever I'm going to work wrapped up in the summer. So I don't know. I'm going to keep my resume updated, but I don't know how it's going to go because, again, I can't just start a new job mid-school year and then worry about going through all the training again. But, again, I'll keep you guys updated on whatever odd things that I see at this place of employment.
Gus, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Have any of the first question, have you haven't received the paycheck from this job yet?
No, we are supposed to receive one next week.
Okay, and then do you know if any of the employees ever had a problem with receiving their pay from this company?
Yes, the nurse educator who did our orientation, most of our orientation with us, when I was walking out and I asked her about the union fees, she said she's sorry she didn't know and that she asked, but she was told that was none of her business because it doesn't pertain to her. She also said that her first paycheck, her and I guess another, she's like has a PhD in nursing, but there's also other RNs who got hired around the same time as her, and that all of them got their paychecks. They had all these fees taken out, and all of their paychecks said zero. So that they all got together, went down and made an issue about it, and that someone had to come in from home and cut them all new paychecks that day. So that was another thing that I thought was like, okay, like, does she know that she's scaring me even more from this place? But she literally said during the orientation, you know, if I applied for other jobs, they all called me back the day after I accepted this one, and I regret that they didn't call me a day sooner. So I hope that answers that about the pay. Her first paycheck was zero.
Well, I asked that question because it just sounds like they running like a straight criminal racket, and I can see people working and almost not even getting paid, and then they'll just be like, oh, well, you know, and that's all I have.
I
I was going to say, just when you were saying about the fact that some of the pages aren't legible and that they're refusing to reprint them, it's a legal document. Like, how even in court they'll be lambasted for creating documents that are not even legible, and they're created so shabbily, and they have the nerve to say that they don't have the money to make new ones, then you shouldn't actually have a business then. If you can't put money towards something as basic as a company manual, then why are you even running a business? And I thought the similar thing to the previous call in regards to them toying around with people's money, because it kind of reminded me. I remember a couple of months back, there was a caller who was dealing with something similar. I think he was working at a car dealership where, like, they were messing around with people's checks on a regular basis, and they had to come together to complain to, I think it was the owner, if I remember correctly, about the same situation. So definitely, I just hope you're able to find something really, really quick, because this definitely seems like a racket, like something severely criminal. And just the process is what you're discussing, and then the history of this man renaming the company, and then wanting you to sign a document that, even though the manual is speaking of company A, it's really speaking about company B. I mean, this is nonsense. Like, this is stuff. I mean, it's layers. It's multi layers of underhanded activity, and it's definitely, when you see something like that, for those listeners, where you come into a situation and things look like that, shabby and just not done correctly, expect that your treatment is going to look like that manual. Once you see that something as important but basic as that is not being, you know, taken care of or respected, then think, especially if you're Black, understand that you're going to be treated like that manual. Whatever that manual looks like is exactly what your treatment is going to be like, and probably worse than that. Thank you, and I'll mute my line.
I'd also like to say, I think that may be why mostly, if not all, other than management, Black staff, these may be people to take the fall. This is at least one of three nursing homes this gentleman owns. At the other one, which is closer to where I live, I think that's been open 3 years, and they've already been on the news for violations. That staffing is primarily Black. So these are Black women who are going to get, as nurses and CNAs, their license taken away that they have worked for, our CNAs a certificate. They're an RNs. They're going to be the ones who are pushed to sign things that they didn't do, or to catch up on this paperwork so that the owner doesn't get in trouble, and they're going to be the one. He's just going to open up and get another name. You can't just become an RN or LPN under a different name, the same way that he changes names on these companies every few years. And I know that I need to leave this place, because I know from the treatment of my mother at one of his facilities, it was just so grotesque. And I'm really nervous, but I don't have a choice but to work here until something else comes along.
Context of white supremacy. That is a conundrum that, unfortunately, the system of white supremacy reproduces worldwide, where many, many Black people worldwide are in that exact same type of position, where you know you're working for some sort of criminal enterprise, you're being mistreated. If they're working and serving others, the people that they're serving are being mistreated. But racists require that you have some sort of job to sustain yourself under their system. Just a lot of non-white people end up in that sort of situation. And exactly as you said, the company and the racists who are operating the company, they don't end up being the ones who face any sort of punitive charges or what have you. It just ends up being invariably the Black people who end up being the ones who take all the blame. It's their fault. And then the racists, they just go open up another organization, do the exact same thing. Other people that we have not heard from. If we have other folks that we have not heard from at all, if you had commentary you wanted to share, chime in.
I just have one last thing for the previous caller. Just that I'm glad she didn't sign anything, and please do not sign anything without reading it, because if they put you in a situation where you can lose your license,
then you definitely don't want to sign anything if they give it to you without reading what it is first. So that's the last thing I wanted to say. Thank you.
Hello, can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Hello, hello, Gus, and greetings to you and all the callers. This is Mel. I just had a little incident the other day at my job. I work with the school system, so I have to interact with different faculty members and so forth, different administrators. And there's this one guy that's, you know, he's a white man, and he's, you know, one of the aggressive ones, I would say. But whenever he sees me, he always addresses me. He says, "Hey, what's up, brother? What's up?" And this may be petty, but I just need your feedback and I need your advice on this. He always approaches me and, you know, he greets me with, "Hey, brother, what's up, brother?" You know, and that really irks me. So I let it go on for maybe a couple of weeks. And, you know, the other day, you know, he says, "Hey, what's up, brother?" And I say, "Man, can you tell, I can't remember, how do we spell our mother's name?" And he looked at me, and, you know, I think he automatically understood, so I didn't have to say, you know, what I was implying. But he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "You keep calling me brother, and, I mean, I don't, do we share a mother?" And he was just, no, all right. He, you know, kind of backed off into the shadows. But before I got back to base, there was already a note on the desk with my supervisor, basically stating that there was an incident. And so I explained to my, you know, subordinate, my supervisor, whatever you want to call it, and she's a black woman, and she said, "Well, you have three things you can do. You can either talk to him, or you can talk to the principal at the school, or you can just leave it alone." And so, you know, I was really perplexed, but I was really confused on how to deal with that situation. And it may seem petty to, you know, everybody, but to me, that, because he never addresses anybody else that way. It's only me. I'm a brother. And that really just gets to me. That real gets me on, you know. And I just wanted to know, you're in those type of situations, how would you handle that passive-aggressive racism? I mean, it's basically like taunting, like, "I'm not your brother. You know I'm not your brother. We're not brothers." You don't address people that look like you as brother. Why am I a brother? I just wanted your feedback or feedback from the callers, and I wanted to know if I handled that situation correctly, because I feel I did, but I wanted to really say more, but I tried to, you know, just stay codified. And can I please get, you know, your feedback on that situation?
For sure. That has come up before when we've discussed workplace racism. I think, number one, in terms of just understanding, I think because for some people, they might not identify that as an act of white supremacy racism. They might just say, "Oh, well, you know, he's trying to be cool," or, you know, "That's just what people say in the workplace environment," that sort of thing. And that is not my opinion at all. In my view, that is an act of white supremacy racism. It should be thought of as such. And exactly the point that you said kind of towards the end, that he doesn't do this to anybody else. Any of the other people that work there, they're not, "Hey, brother, morning, sister." He doesn't do that. It's just you as a black person that gets recognized in that sort of way. And I think that sort of tacky, slick racism, I think, is very, very common on the jobs, where either, I think some of the people that have called in before, well, they will say that the racist, that they will start going into some sort of slang, and it's exclusively, they do this sort of act just when they're talking to another black person on the job. They don't do this sort of act. They don't talk in this sort of way when they're talking to other whites on the job, a la Sue Africa, the way that she sounded when she talked to us. So I think you're totally correct in assessing this as an act of racism in terms of how you handled it. I always am a big advocate of staying in the question lane in terms of just asking him, you know, do we have the same mom or how do we spell our mother's name? And he immediately recognized what he was doing. Whites are not ignorant about practicing racism. I'm not surprised in terms of immediately you getting back to your work area and there being a note that this is a quote unquote incident. I'm reminded, I think it was the female caller in New York where and I think it was the same type of thing where it was a white person addressing her by something other than her name or how she wanted to be called, where he wanted to call her. I think it was either her middle name or her first name, or it was something other than what she wanted to be called. And she just made a request. I think she just asked him if you could please call me by my last name or what have you and leave it at that. And it was the same thing. He immediately goes to report this, and then she has to have a meeting with the supervisor. And, oh, my, they said that, you know, you were rude or this, that, and the other because you asked him not to call, and just asking, did I do something incorrect? Am I being, you know, accused of violating company policy and procedure, and having to ask repeatedly to get them to say, no, this was just brought to my attention and then we can proceed with the working place. So I don't think you did anything incorrect in terms of how you handle it. As I said, I always think it's a good idea when you can stay in the question lane for how you deal with this sort of thing. I don't think it's petty, because I do think it's an act of racism. I think it's just one of the ways that they just get to be tacky on the job. And it's a really thinly veiled act of disrespect towards you as a black person and making you think, oh, I'm cool, I'm down with the niggers, my brother, my black, I mean, all of it. And I think it's an act of counter-racism when you can stop that. And I think there are probably a variety of ways that you can go about doing that. You can do what you did. You can just ask a question. You can just make a request. I would prefer if you just address me by my name. My name is, you know, Mr. Jackson. My name is Miss Johnson, if you could just call me that, or if you're on a job where people go by first name basis, you know, my name is Ted, please call me Ted. I prefer if that's the way that you address me every time on the job, not brother. You can do it that way. Variety, I'm sure some other folks have some other suggestions, but this has come up repeatedly in workplace racism, where it's the same sort of thing. If it's not brother, it's partner or some other tacky little derivative that racists come up with on the job. Did other folks, do y'all have any other suggestions in terms of if other people have dealt with that, how they neutralized it, or any suggestions on how you would stop this behavior, if you even think it's worth stopping?
May I be heard?
I heard two people.
You can go first.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I was going to say, I think the caller handled it very well. I would definitely agree with you, Gus. As far as staying in the question lane, that is absolutely the best way to go, because they really can't refute a question, whereas if it's a statement, it can potentially turn into an argument. I could tell he was viscerally affected by it. So, you know, I think you handled it well, and hopefully he won't do that again. I wanted to just speak to something that the caller said, and then Gus kind of spoke to it too. I just want to say there is no act of racism that is petty or small. These creatures do things on a myriad of levels, and sometimes we're not even consciously aware, but we react the same way we would as if we were consciously aware, but we're not consciously aware we're being assaulted. And any act of racism that has a negative effect on you psychologically, spiritually, whatever the case may be, is valid. So I just wanted to say that. Please, anyone, don't ever assume that a situation you're dealing with is not important or something that's discardable, because sometimes it's those little things that can make you snap like Colin Ferguson. Sometimes it's not the major stuff. Sometimes it's just an accumulation of those little things that might set you off. So don't ever discount those things. And if you have the opportunity, speak about them. You know, no question is stupid. You know, just ask a question or just say what it is you have to say. You will get the support you need. Don't ever feel like anything is petty or not worthy of discussion, because, you know, everyone's affected by the system differently. And like I said, sometimes for some people, it's those small things that really push you over the edge. And for other people, it could be big incidents. Accumulations of those are just one big incident. So, you know, it's just important for us to keep mentally healthy and to take care of one another, that we think in that manner, that there's nothing too big or too small that shouldn't be addressed, especially when it comes to workplace racism, because that's where we spend the majority of our time. Most people spend more time at work than they spend with their family. So this is very important for all of us. Thank you.
Have you heard?
Yes, sir.
I think you handled that situation brilliantly. What I would ask is, what was the incident that was supposed to have happened?
Well, he said that I was rude. Apparently I was rude to the administrator, and I explained my situation, and the person that is I don't like saying supervisor or boss. I don't know what to call them, but the person that came to me with it basically said, you know, she was like, sometimes you just have to just let that stuff go. And she's a black woman. You have to just let that stuff go, and you just got to let that stuff kind of roll out. I said, well, I can't do that. And, you know, it was just very, very strange. But since then, he refers to me as my first name, but he created an incident of it, and that was my concern. I mean, it was man to man. Like, I asked him a question, he hurried up and ran and told it. So that was very interesting.
I had a situation at work, white guy. I got longer hair, and so the white guy said, what's up, pimpin'? I looked at him like he was speaking Chinese and said, I'm not a pimp. You know, and left it at that. And I had another situation where this was not work-related. Just walking into a gas station, white guy begging for change said, hey, what's up, brother? I'm like, I'm not your brother, you know. And I think you handle it, very well. And it's for the supervisor or the boss or whatever. I have a question for her, meaning, what do you mean by let it go? Is it policy to call people by nicknames or not address someone in their proper name, whether that be the first name or last name? And second question would be, do I address people in that manner? And thank you.
That was basically exactly how the conversation went, and I appreciate that feedback, because I was kind of feeling guilty, like maybe I was being overbearing or rude. But you know, yeah, that's exactly how I kind of felt sorry for the sister, like, you don't get it, you really on their side, and I felt sorry for her, but that's okay. Thank you very much for your feedback. I really appreciate it.
I was going to say to you, too, in regards to the incident or it being logged as an incident, I would ask that supervisor, is this incident supposed to reflect negatively on me? Because all I did was ask this person to address me by what I would like to be called and not to call me outside of my name. Did he say something derogatory? No, but he did not call me by what I wish to be addressed. And is it okay in this company, is that a company policy that you can address people however you feel like addressing them? Even if you're not saying something aggressive or you're not cursing at them, the bottom line is you're not addressing a person with the way that they wish to be addressed. And I would just say, hey, this should not be logged as an incident against me, and I want to make sure that's not the case. Otherwise, I would like to ask everyone, if you have like a company-wide meeting, is it okay for us to call each other whatever we want to call each other, or should we address each other by what we wish to be called? And then at that point, they'll have to do something about it if they put it in your file, because they should not be putting something in your file for something like that where you're addressing being called outside of your name and being addressed in a way in which you do not wish to be addressed. So I don't know how that ended up, but that's something I would definitely take issue with if they attempt to put it in, you know, your file as something that counts against you, as if you did something to this person who is basically disrespecting you. And, you know, he's doing it in a terroristic way. So I just wanted to say that to you as well. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, very briefly, I just wanted to say to the lady caller first, anytime you sign a legal document, you're bounded by it. So I would definitely want them to give me a very clear copy. I would say, I'm not signing anything that I can't read. If stuff is cut off, I mean, like, this holds up in court. I signed it. This could be saying I willingly give up my license if this place is whatever. So I would just really look into that. As for the brother comment, see, around amongst here in New York,
especially amongst the Italians, big God for earthquakes, right? They will use brothers as a code word for niggers. Like, yeah, I was hanging out with some brothers, you know, they kind of throw it out there so you know they're talking about black people. And I would really, you know, check that right away. I'm not your brother. I wouldn't say I'm not your brother. I would say I would prefer to be called by my name as opposed to that. But when white people use brother, it's a slick way of them saying, yo, what's up, nigga? Like you know, like they're cool. Like I don't take that one in particular. They'll use bro. That's another one they like to use, bro or bruh. Hey, what's up, bruh? And you know, quickly, no, Thomas. You know, no, I'm not. You know, but I don't like that one in particular because that can be used as a code word for what's up, nigger. And I'll be my mom.
For folks that recall, this is another reason why I said this is not a spectator broadcast. It is very important, at least in my opinion, when people are, when black people, victims of white supremacy, are able to share these type of experiences. And you get to hear how common this is, because I think for the caller that just dialed in to share this incident, well, this is not just you. This is widespread. I mean, there have been a lot of people, the times where we've been focusing on workplace racism, who have dialed in, who have had the exact same type of incident where black males, black females, the whole gambit, where whites come in and they make up some nicknames, whether it's bruh, partner, you know, whatever it is, and it's just you that they do this. They don't do this with anybody else. They don't do this with any other white coworkers where they make up little names and what have you. You were saying where you were almost feeling guilty, like, did I, you know, make a big deal out of something that, you know, was not really an act of racism and that sort of thing. And this is why I think it's really important just hearing how common this is, because it totally is an act of white supremacy, racism. It should be regarded as such. And I think it has even been pretty similar in terms of when we've had callers who have said that they did say something about this and they didn't get nasty. They didn't curse the person out. They just, you know, would you please, I would prefer if you, I think as Thomas just said, I'd prefer if you address me by my name. Or just, this is how I would like to be referenced every time. Please don't, you know, call me anything other than if it's first name, last name, however they choose to be referenced with a white person. They took the course of action of, oh my gosh, we got some uppity nigra on the job. And now this is going to be an incident report. And we got to put something in your file. And we got to get a manager or a supervisor to come and chastise you. How dare you, you know, take issue with being called bruh, partner, or whatever, you know, they make up to call you on the job. That's, in my view, why I think it's extremely important. And I would make sure to highlight, if you're, because I think the black female who raised this as an issue last week, the same thing happened when she got called in to get this pseudo reprimand. It was a black quote-unquote supervisor who was the one who addressed this, where I said that she did great counter-racist work. She just kept asking, is there anything incorrect about me requesting to be called by my name like everyone else here? And then they finally, no, there's nothing incorrect. You didn't do anything wrong. Now let's go back to work. Where it took a lot of question asking to get to that point. But one of the things that I would point out, which I think you clarified, just he doesn't address anyone else in this manner. If we're all supposed to be treated equally, if policy and procedure applies equally across the board, then it shouldn't just be that I am being singled out to get some sort of special title or name or nickname on the job. If everyone else gets called by whatever, however they want to be addressed, then I would hope the same applies for me. And if it does not, why? You get to stay in the question lane on that one, too. Other folks that we have not heard from at all, if we have other people who have a hand up that we have not heard from, if you had observations or your own situation you wanted to share, feel free. Please do not wait until the last minute. Thank you kindly.
Because can I say one more? Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's nab some of the people that we haven't heard from real quick, and I'll make sure we get you in as well, Thomas, in New York. I think that was a caller in Florida. Were you going to share, sir?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. I had about four or five incidents, if I could share. The first was, because I'm training in my new department that I've been transferred to, and it was very interesting. It was toward the end of the day, like on Monday, where I was helping out a customer. It was a white guy, helping him find some kind of property deed. And he was leaving, and he asked you know, like, what time do we close? And I said, we close at 5. And then it was around maybe like 4:45. And he said, oh, well, you know, you can just, you know what, you can just go ahead and leave. You know, I'll sign you off, you know. I guess since he a random white person, he just took it upon himself to say, hey, you know, I pretty much have the authority over you, so you can go home when I say so, even though it's before the time you're supposed to leave. So I found that interesting. And the second was the racial classifications on, like, arrest reports and sworn complaints. It was a black female that came in, and she was very confused about a history that she had. And it was a charge on that she didn't recognize, but it was her first and last name. But she was classified as white on the list for the case. So it was a sworn complaint. So apparently, I think a race soldier, I guess he might have had some kind of racist intent, you know, I guess classifying her as white, because I think on those, the sworn complaints is where somebody else describes you, and I think the officer describes you as well. So she didn't know that she was being classified as white and black at the same time. Like, it would be one on the search results that would come up black for the female name, and the second one came up as white. So, you know, I went and asked a white person, the supervisor, and he says, you know, the sworn complaints is basically when somebody files a complaint about you, and you can have something in the system about you and you won't even know it. So she was just completely just, you know, baffled about that. So I guess we ended up going to talk to some more other white people about rectifying the issue. But yeah, the classification thing is very interesting, because there are people coming up that's being classified as white, but the people that I'm looking at that come in there, they don't look nothing like white people. They can be somebody that we might call black, or, you know, Indian or whatever, Latino. But, you know, so, like, they're coming up as white or unknown or something like that on the results. And, like, for number 3, my third one, I heard a conversation between, like, one of the bailiffs, the sheriffs, like a young guy. He was talking to a white female, and, like, as I was getting on the elevator, I was about to go to the first floor, and he said, well, you know, I'm just trying to watch out because, you know, they're shooting at us and trying to kill us. So, you know, you see what's going on the news. So I guess based on what he was saying, he was probably talking about, because this happened a few weeks ago, I guess he was talking about those shootings that occurred and what happened in Dallas a little while ago. So I guess they was talking about that amongst themselves as two white people. So it seemed like he was a little shocked when I walked up and walked on the elevator. So, you know, I guess he just took that however he took it. And number 4 was, I was walking into another department. Actually, the older department of people I know. And I think I said something about wisdom or something like that. I said, are you sharing any grand wisdom today? You know, trying to get him to be constructive, because he can be constructive, the white supervisor, my old supervisor. And he turns around. He was in front of the cashier. So he turned around, did you say grand wizard? I said, no, I said grand wisdom. So, he, you know, he started, like, cracking a smile. You know, he bust out and said grand wizard. So I was like, yeah, that's a large error right there. That's not what I said. So, you know, he started giggling or whatever. So I had left that scene. So that was number 4. And, like, number 5, like, this same guy, it was, like, at lunchtime, it was a white female that was sitting in front of me. And she starts out by saying, hey, why don't you tell blank, she said my name, why don't you tell me about that thing that happened? So in my brain, like, I'm thinking they're about to talk about something related to race, because, you know, they have a tendency to do that, like, around me. I guess it's a sense of comfortability, or they're trying to, I guess, gauge on, like, what I think and my my views on it, but I've always asked questions. So I just let them say what they're going to say and see what constructive information I can get out of it. So this guy, he says, oh, yeah, you know, I went to the Best Western or some kind of motel where, you know, he said he named two incidents. He said on Saturday I went and it was two black women that was in the hot tub. So I got in the hot tub and they got out, you know, when I got in there, basically, long story short. And then, you know, I guess he was pointing out observation or whatever. And he said, I guess they walked a couple of steps away from the hot tub, you know, and he said he thought that was odd. Now, he never used the term racist or racism. And he said, like, it was a black guy with some dreads that was there on another night. And I guess he was telling me that he was trying to get combative with him. That's the term he used. And saying that, you know, why do I have to be, you know, considered an African-American? And, you know what, I'm a Hebrew. He told me that's what this black male said. So, you know, I'm just listening to what he's saying. And the black guy, he told me, you know what did you think about me when you first seen me? So now, before he told me what he said he thought, he said, you know, he had these dreadlocks and stuff. So, you know, I didn't really want to say anything to get him upset. So just right there, he told me a great deal of truth. So basically he was being dishonest and he said, oh, you know, when I first seen you, because he was with his girlfriend, when I first seen you, I thought you would just be an awesome guy to have that kind of girlfriend or something. Basically, he was being brutally dishonest. So he said he was trying to quell the tension in the conversation. And basically, he ended up just saying, you know, the so-called prejudice, he used the word prejudice, can't come from both sides. You know, we have a division. And it's not just white people or something like that. And then he says, you know, my son is married to a black woman. You know, he's just telling me all this stuff. So I said, oh, really? And then, you know, when they trying to hit me with that label that I'm a racist, I just tell them, you know what, my son is married to a black woman. And then I ask him, you know, what do they say after that? And then he says, well, they don't usually say anything. So, you know, that conversation ended, and then I went to go clock back in. So, yeah, I thought I should share that with the program. And that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Myriad of activity this week. Fascinating. I was wondering where the, in the kind of final vignette where you shared where he had the hot tub thing, and then he saw the, a non-white male with locks, and you know, they had their exchange or what have you. I was waiting to see where he was going with that, and the, oh, see, everybody is racist. It's not just, you know, white people. Black people are racist too. They were racist and hopped out of the hot tub, and you know, it's everybody is like that. I was curious, and I, in my view, at least on the job, this is why I say consistently on the job, we're not supposed to be talking about racism. I even discourage that with other non-white people on the job. That's not why you signed up to work in that particular environment, to go there and to share your views on racism. It's been my experience that a lot of victims of racism run into trouble. I think that whites, they do that sort of thing deliberately to make those type of comments, or if they're going to tell you a story like that, just to get you to respond. I think the caller said just to try to get you to start talking so we can study and see what this nigger thinks, or to just get you riled up. They'll share something like that, or they'll share something where you can get upset. They'll start talking about Black Lives Matter, or even where he said the bailiff, where he came in, the bailiff was talking about, oh, yeah, they're shooting at us. I mean, gosh. And, you know, to try to get you all excited so that you'll start talking, then they can file that away. Sometimes they do this just so this will be their form of entertainment. Oh, yeah, we got that nigger riled up, went down there and started talking about this or talking about that, or we brought up Donald Trump, and, you know, they were just fuming and upset, and they started rolling for about the next 15 minutes, ruined their whole day. I think they do that, or they will use that, then they can start getting a catalog of things where they want to reprimand you or get you in trouble, saying that you brought up something that you shouldn't have on the job, or you offended such and such person on the job. I've seen that sort of thing consistently. So I always think that is the best thing to do. If they start telling you those sort of stories, particularly if it has nothing to do with the job, you can just listen quietly and allow them to share, make whatever mental notes if you want to document. If you got your little device where you can record and share that later, great. I would not have anything to say at all, even if they ask you your opinion. That's interesting. I'll have to think about it. Or you can come up with a myriad of non-responses like that if they really try to goad you into responding to some of those sort of commentaries like that, because I think that's just another standard racist tactic to get us to respond. Unless folks have questions or observations, some of the other folks that we have not heard from, anybody that we have not heard from at all, have commentary they wanted to get in?
Yes. Can I hear?
I thought I heard a female caller.
Yes, this is Miss Med out in Oregon. I wanted to chime in on the female caller who was having so much trouble at the nursing home she was at. And due to me, because as problematic, very problematic, when she said that they did not want to discuss with her her benefits until after her 90 days. That, to me, is a sign that maybe they may not be able or may not be willing to keep people beyond their 90 days, and you may only be there 89 days. I've had this situation where I was employed full-time for a dental office that had a union, and I was let go on my 89th day, the day after Christmas. So I would have no shame if you had to, in fact, call back some of those employers that you turned down and say, you know, hey, things didn't work out, blah, 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 and get the ball rolling. I would do it because that place sounds trouble, absolute trouble. The next thing that I wanted to touch on was last week there was a lot of medical talk, and there was a doctor. She called back and was talking about possible racism that was going on with two white females, and one of them not addressing her by her credential of doctor. To that, I would add that I would not allow anyone to take my credential from me. She has probably had to work two and or three times extra hard to get her credentials. I would not let people take it away. Also, even if she wanted to be perhaps, say, more, I don't know, friendly about it, we had a doctor I was, actually, she was an educator, but still a dentist. And her name was actually very complicated to say, so she didn't go by her, didn't allow people to call her by her last name because they would just chop it up anyway. So she went by her first name, and she allowed people to call her Dr. Jenny. Maybe that's something she might want to try if she's, you know, wanting to be, I don't know, maybe a little bit more friendly than most, but I would not let them tear me away from my credentials. And my workplace racism, I would like to add, I was temping at an office, and I had been there for several times, maybe in a two-week period, and I had noticed a group working, a dentist, a female white dentist, and a black assistant. And I just noticed that she was standing all the time, and that's fairly odd to be doing. And I didn't really get a chance to communicate with her because, you know, we were busy and, you know, if something's going on, I'm always the first person to leave. So the next time that I got to have a word with her, I asked her, well, you know, well, why are you standing all the, you know, is there like a special reason? And she had said that the dentist had told her that she paid better attention when she stood up. And I said, excuse me, how does she know that? How is this possible that she's going to make this claim and have your chair removed? I mean, it's not even in the room. It was totally suspect to me. I told her, I also expressed to her that if she needed to have someone fill in for her and they happened to call me, that I would not be abiding by that. That is the reason why I sought out that job, was that you're not standing on your feet all day. And I also noticed that this person was wearing, to compensate because she was having to stand all day, he had on these big platform shoes with, like, cushioning in them. Once they're going to be taking away your chair, they've got to, I mean, there's just, it's just so problematic. I would have called OSHA. I would have not let that go down. I mean, that is a serious violation. I mean, you're going to have a chair removed. And, I mean, this isn't like some chair that you get. A dental assistant chair isn't something that you find at an Office Depot. This is a chair that is specially made, designed, and engineered for you to sit in to do your job. So how it is that this woman is allowed to tell you that you pay better attention while you're standing up and you get to break your neck and back all day and nobody else in this office is doing that except for you, I said, that is highly suspect. And if you call me, I'm not doing this. And that was all that I had.
Medical apartheid, once again, medical apartheid, Harriet A. Washington. I think I did try to point that out consistently as we were moving along. It's not just black patients who are terrorized by racists in their white lab coats, that if you are a black healthcare practitioner, you are going to be terrorized as well. And that is well documented. But some black self-respect in trying to help out another black person who's dealing with that sort of abuse on the job. I know some people that's not part of their code, but the people who do make the effort do think that should be acknowledged. Do we have anybody that we have not heard from? Anybody that we have not heard from? Make sure we don't miss anybody.
Yes, may I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, good night to the host and all the other callers. elementary school teacher. I observe white people terrorizing, mistreating, miseducating, or not educating children every single day. And what I've noticed that all the deans, for academic deans, are white, and the people in charge of discipline are non-white, black. And the people in charge of special education are white. What I noticed, a couple of administrators, white administrators, that they pretty much, they don't be doing a lot. You know, they don't be doing much. They stay in their office or their little corners or cubbies or whatever, but they really try to not interact with the students much. They often will state that their job is to support teachers, and they're not really doing that also. There's this one particular white male. He's one of the directors of special education, like early elementary or early elementary. And he pretty much does nothing. Walks around the school, interacts with the teachers whenever. He does issues and stuff like this. Just walk through the classes, do a little observation, walk back out. Also, he's working on his doctorate. There are two white teachers that are like directors that are working on their doctorates. So, yeah. But what I see is, you know, these white teachers, they're in the school, and they're pretty much there for the position and the benefits and the money that come along with it, but they're not interested at all in educating non-white black children. It's tough working in a middle school, you know, because it's like you're seeing racism being played out, you know, against children, on children, you know, and it just you know, rings home to me, like, how serious this problem is, and white people have no intentions of stopping practice racism, white supremacy. And that's all I share for now. Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can see it very clearly in those sort of environments if you work in anything dealing with education, particularly education of a lot of black children or a lot of non-white children, that it is not designed with the best interest, optimal development of black children at all. If anything, it is for the enjoyment of whites, where they can get whatever benefits or they can make money or have fun practicing racism and miseducating black children. That seems about the size of what it is set up for, not maximizing the development of black children. That is totally opposite of the system of racism, white supremacy. Did we miss anybody? Anybody who did not, who we have not heard from at all, have something they wanted to share? We got everybody. Nobody missed. Everybody who dialed in with a hand up has been able to share. We didn't miss anybody. Grand, assuming folks are not waiting until the last minute. Thomas in New York, thank you for your patience, sir. Did you have something you were going to share?
Oh, absolutely, man. You don't got to thank me for my patience. I know I take up a lot of time. I apologize. But you said something that was so poignant, and I just thought I could had an elaboration on it, because when we were talking about the brother point, and you mentioned black females, and I want to say, you know, as we all know, if you listen to the cows, that white females are extremely dangerous, and they practice racism a lot better than white men. And the white women do this much more than white men do it. With white men come up to you, hey brother, you know, what's up, my man? However, I see white women come up to black females, and every job I've had, hey girlfriend, hey sis. You know, and they start popping their neck, they start talking in slang, they start rolling their eyes, you know, they go to lunch and see the black female, you know, just really going extra with it, in my opinion, because I think that they're receiving that white validation from that white female. You know, they feel, you know, special at that moment, you know, it's driving them. But I see the white females do that way more then the white men will come up, you know, to you, call you a brother. They'll have a black friend at the workplace that, and they'll totally try to act black, you know, or how they perceive a black person to act. They start talking much more loosely, and go right back to their desk amongst the other white people and turn right back to white real quick. And I just find that happening all the time at the workplace. And that's all I wanted to say, guys. Thank you.
I think our female caller in Michigan, she's dialed in before, where she's talked about where she's had white women on the job and they were doing that sort of thing and wanted her to be cool. Like, I think this, she was talking about a specific white woman, race soldier, where she had fooled some of the other victims on the job. These are other black females. She was victimizing them and they all thought she was cool and down and she wanted to go hang out. I guess they were doing lunch or whatever, something non-work related, where they were supposed to go hang out. And our caller in Michigan, she was suspicious, appropriately suspicious, that this is just a race soldier. She's just looking to terrorize me and getting me to, as they say, lower my guard and talk, give up personal information about me. And it seemed to really bother this particular white woman that she did not fall for it, that she did not, you know, think, oh, yeah, this is, you know, just the greatest little white woman ever. And, you know, we can go hang out. This will be my little buddy on the job. But I have seen some of that behavior amongst white women where they will do that and try and give the stereotypical black behavior. You can put that in quotes so that you think that they're down, they're cool. And, you know, I'm certainly not racist. I'm, you know, right in with you guys. I love, you know, hanging out with the niggers where they can be some of the most dangerous people. And they can flip, go from that and go right back to their racist script in about 5 minutes on the job, if not faster. So certainly you should be extremely suspicious. They are super dangerous in the workplace environment. One other thing I did also want to say, we have about 5 minutes before we wrap up. If you're in an environment, really, it could be anywhere, but particularly the black female, I think that was Lady New York, where she was talking about this, you know, lawless, corrupt nursing environment. If it's that slipshod where, you know, you can't even get a crisp copy of the manual, I was going to say, I guess you could ask if they have the manual on file where you don't have to print it out, where I can at least, like, you could email me the file and I could read it for myself, but they might not even be willing to do that. But if, you know, they are this corrupt, I would not be surprised if they just forge signatures. If they have employees who, you know, are wise, intelligent enough to say, well, I'm not going to sign this because I can't read it, or, you know, it sounds suspicious, or I just have concerns, I'm not going to sign this. It would not shock me at all in that environment where they just go and, you know, do some sort of fakery once you have submitted the paperwork and they notice that you didn't sign it. So I would be aware of that as well. And if you can figure out a means of knowing which documents you did not sign, if you can photocopy them or request a copy of your file or what have you, just to kind of be mindful of that, that, you know, that would not be out of the realm of possibility at all to just fake your signature. And then if an issue does come up, then they can, oh, yeah, you did sign. We have the evidence right here that you did sign this, this information. Other folks have anything else they want to make sure they get in before we get ready to wrap things up?
Oh, may I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say, I'm not sure, maybe I did mention it. I was going a little fast. To Lady in New York about the nursing home. She might want to call that that union. They might have some information for her, either regarding her benefits, that they were able to provide her with that information, or either if she's able to call them, like maybe from another cell phone, anonymously, and ask them some questions, I think she might find out some information.
Good suggestion. Anything else folks want to make sure they get in before we get ready to wrap things up, last few minutes?
As for that nursing home, I wouldn't be surprised if they're not engaged in some Medicaid for it. I see that all the time up here. They'll have people outside of the medical offices. They want the people to go inside with their Medicaid card signed, and when they come back outside, they'll give them $50 or $60, and they keep going on about their day. And at the same time, that doctor's in there charging up all kinds of stuff on their Medicaid and wait for the payment to come from the state or the government. But I see that all the time, and they have to have legitimate people down with it to make it look good, like nurses, LPNs probably, people that could do phlebotomy, you know, stuff to make it look good so they could take regular patients. But at the back end, they're paying people just so they could charge up their Medicaid.
Anything criminal, corrupt is possible in that sort of environment, really, within, you know, the entirety of racism, white supremacy. But they're just making it blatant that they have no intent of even giving the facade that they're trying to do the correct thing in this environment. I also wanted to share as well, just, and then I'll make sure the other person, I think that was Roz, if you had comments you wanted to get in as well. Just really quick, also, if there's any sort of sexual terrorism going on, I think this was a lady where she shared before in a previous workplace situation where she was physically assaulted by a white woman who struck her. This was a suggestion that was given, I believe, by Mr. Fuller, because I asked him about that situation directly, where he said, because that sort of thing, too, can come down to a he said, she said. I think in that example that she gave, there was no one present who observed the assault. So it was just the same thing. You have a black person's word against a white person's word, and you're probably not going to win that situation. Where he said what he would do is to make sure that they are not in close proximity ever again. Like, as soon as I see this person coming, I'm going to the opposite side of the building. I'm going to make sure that we don't have any close contact. And then if anyone asks, I would just say, you know, this person assaulted me, and I am doing everything that I can to make sure that this never happens again. And this would be the case for as long as I stay on the job. I would immediately get away from that person. That might be something that has to be employed if it's a sexual assault thing, because if they, like the situation that the male caller told us about in the library situation, that also could be something. If they're doing physical things, like if they're moving close to you on an elevator, it might be difficult to get audio recording to even substantiate that that happened, unless they make some sort of, you know, verbal comment that they're doing this. It would be difficult to get audio recording of someone, you know, grinding on you in an elevator or even moving into your space in a sexual manner. It might be difficult to get recording of that, that might be one where you have to employ the same strategy. And certainly, again, you know, you can use whatever you think will work for you. You know your workplace situation better than anyone else, but it might have to get to that point where you just, hey, we cannot have any contact at all. This person cannot be in my proximity. As soon as I see them even look like they're coming close, I'm immediately sprinting out of this area. And if it comes up, this person has violated my space, I don't feel comfortable, and I just have to make sure that we're not in the same environment at any time. And in my opinion, that would be the same thing. They might get upset, they might come after you, but I think that would at least take it out of the realm where they could do something sexual to you and that sort of thing, because it could be from just based on what the person was saying. I think he said that she had made some verbal comments, but if they're just doing physical things and violating your space, I could see that could be challenging to get that recorded where it would evidence that they did this, if it's just they're moving close to you, if that makes sense to people. Roz, were you going to comment, sir?
Yes, I was just going to say in reference to what Thomas was talking about with the healthcare. I was going to say that he's absolutely right, especially with the elderly, because I see that with my father-in-law, where because he has three different types of insurance, because he was in the military and then he worked for the state as a correction officer, so he has like really impeccable insurance. And I found in situations where he's had to be hospitalized, they'll try and extend his stay because they can make over $100,000 just for one stay. For like a week, it's over $100,000. So these are things that we have to watch as well, and it's very important. I believe it was Penelia Randall who talks about, you know, whenever you're ill, to always go to the hospital with someone else who is not sick, who is, you know, mentally on point so that they can look out for your best interest. And that would include things like that, looking out for those sorts of things, because I'll tell you, working in the healthcare industry, I mean, these doctors, some of them are unscrupulous, and they will do anything to get insurance money. So those kind of rackets, that, like what he was talking about with the Medicare thing, is not new. That's stuff I used to hear about in the 80s as a young kid. So, I mean, like, these, you know, this is just, I mean, it's anything for a dollar. And if it's criminal, it's like, it's just white people. If it's criminal and racist, it's white people. You know, one thing I've found is that a lot of what they've said about other people or whatever they describe as negative, if it's the devil or whatever it is, are the exact traits and qualities that they have exhibited the entire time they've been on this planet. So, you know, if whatever they say, study it, vet it, and understand that they're probably lying to you in some way, shape, or form. Thank you, and I'll meet my line.
For sure. That will do it for workplace racism on this week. I know I did speak with a caller who was having conflict difficulties with other black coworkers on the job. That's one that I would certainly minimize contact as much as possible. Be cordial. Be courteous. If you see that they're engaged in a lot of incorrect behavior, I think one of the listeners that wrote in, that's what they were saying, that it seemed like a lot of the other non-white coworkers, they were just engaged in a lot of things that were not related to work at all, and maybe even getting upset because you're not engaged in that sort of conduct, to not get upset about it. Again, just be courteous. Even if they're not being courteous to you, I would still make an effort to be courteous when you do speak with them, to try to be helpful as you can on the job. But I wouldn't worry about it at all. If it's any sort of, you know, oh man, I'm, you know, disgusted because, you know, Thomas won't hang out with us, or he won't talk about the game that happened last night, or gossiping, or whatever they're doing. You know, he won't come over here and, you know, name call other people with us. No problem. Fine. If you stay on that job long enough, it will start to stick out. Hey, he doesn't, you know, have beef. We got beef with, you know, every other person working here, and he's never involved in any of that. I don't hear his name coming up with any sort of gossip and things like that. He's just here doing his work, always speaks to everybody, is real polite. That will stick out given some time if you stay there long enough, because if they are engaged in a lot of that nonsense, and I have seen this firsthand, if that's what's happening, all of that nonsense and everything, after a while, that will get old. People get tired of, you know, people getting fired and reprimanded and just fighting and griping and sniping and all of that. enough people will get tired of that, that it will stick out that, man, this person over here is not engaged in that. We might not be best buddies, but I at least, that person is all right with me. I will speak to that person. I'll be nice to them because they are not engaged in all of this stuff, and I'm tired of it. I've had my fill. I just want to come and do my job, get my paycheck, and go home. I have seen where that happens if you give it enough time. So if that's the type of situation that you're in, if you're around, if you're working in an environment where you have predominantly black employees, try to the best of your ability. Keep it courteous. Keep it cordial. Speak. Keep it focused, at least from your end. Keep it focused on the job when you're talking with them. Try to be helpful when you can. And just if you stay there long enough, I think it will pay dividends for you just taking that course of action. You all can maybe down the road have more constructive interactions, at least with the people who stay there long enough. We will be here tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Blood Brothers, segment number 7. We are almost done. I think we have max 3 sessions, and it might not even be 3 before we are all done. Blood Brothers will wrap things up. I think the next book we're going to do is Spook Who Sat by the Door. We had a listener who said we should do some fiction before the summer concludes, and I wanted to do fiction before the summer concluded as well. So, and we have not done Spook Who Sat by the Door to be able to get a infamous black piece of literature. Mr. Sam Greenlee, the late Sam Greenlee, he passed away in the summer of 2014. I think that'll be the books that we do, the book that we do next. If we have volunteers who would like to read, that would be grand. I would, I think, like to have one person do the whole book. I'd be down to read that book myself, but I thought I at least would pitch if we have any folks who would like to read the whole thing. It's not that big of a book. It's, I think, like 250 pages, so that's not gargantuan. We won't be on it. It's not a medical apartheid. It's not, you know, one of the longer books that we've done. It's relatively short. I think the only challenging thing with that book would be that there's a lot of dialogue between different characters, so you might have to do some, you know, at least giving the appearance that there are multiple different speakers, and that would include probably doing someone of the opposite gender, regardless whether we had a female narrator or a male narrator. You'd have to do some role play for the different characters that are speaking in the book. But I think that would be a fun piece of reading that certainly relates to the system of racism, white supremacy. But I think that's what we'll do next. If we have volunteers, drop us an email, untiljustice@gmail.com. We'll be here Saturday, compensatory call-in, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Again, if you listen on TuneIn, if you listen live on TuneIn, or if you listen to the archive of the Cow, some of the previous episodes, the feed is down, just waiting for the administrators at TuneIn to update to the new feed that we got at Black Talk Radio Network. The archives are still available at iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher, Black Talk Radio Network, and elsewhere. The archives are available. They are up to date. That's the only site that really has been affected. You can always still listen live at Black Talk Radio Network. The feed has been updated there. It works. You could listen to the program that aired today. You can listen to it live there. You can listen to the archives as well. Archive there. It's playing there as usual. But just give it a little bit of time. As soon as I see that it's been updated, I'll let people know so you can, you know, go back to listening at TuneIn if that's where you listen at, to the live content or the archived content. But if you have any questions, confusion, if you can't find something in the archives, drop me an email and I will try to help as soon as possible. We did have a listener who was asking about the infamous program with Dr. Barbara Trepanier, admitted racist from 2011. I need to just get that one updated so it's in the current iTunes feed. It is on YouTube and many other places online. If you just put her name in with the Cows, you'll find it. But I will see if I can get that updated today so it'll be in the current iTunes feed and you'll be able to track that down a little bit easier as well. That is a epic broadcast on the Cows, very much in the same vein as Sioux Africa. Anyway, thanks for all the folks who tuned in. Hope you got some constructive information this evening. And again, follow up if you shared any of the incidents with us this evening or previously. Let us know if you use any of these strategies or if you come up with some of your own solutions for how you want to deal with issues on the job. Let us know how things develop. That way we'll get a better idea of what things work, what things do not work when we're dealing with racism on the job. With that, I will again, sobriety would be best under conditions of white terrorism. I have not seen one single incident where alcohol, cannabis, any other intoxicants have made our situation better with regards to neutralizing permanently the system of racism, white supremacy, especially if you're going to be in a vehicle. I know people are getting in their last hurrahs for the summer of 2016. All well and good. You do not want to lax in your codification just because you're having a good time. Racist man, racist woman, racist child, they do not take breaks from practicing racism. We cannot take breaks from counter racism. If you're going to be in a vehicle, driver, passenger, even if you're a pedestrian, you do not want to be intoxicated. You never know when today will be the day that you are stopped by Daniel Holtzclaw, Darren Wilson. White person with or without a badge can be a life-ending encounter in like 5 minutes. You being under the influence of anything is not going to help that situation turn out any better. We want to be lucid, clear thinking, so we can make phenomenal decisions to try to keep ourselves as safe as possible. Pass that along to other victims of racism. Certainly anytime you're in a vehicle, you want to buckle up. Let's try to do everything we can to minimize contact with race soldiers. That said, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, in all areas of people activity, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Context of White Supremacy signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Man, I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.